This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Broadcasting in high-definition radio, you can go to kpft.org and find out what programming you'll hear on the other's channel.
Now it's time for some new Pansy Division.
And we're going to play Twinkie, Twinkie, Little okay. Star.
You're a
And that was Pansy Division, Dirty Young Man. And before that, Twinkie, Twinkie, Little Star.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy's now over in the studio with a guest.
Yes.
I got with you, Jimmy.
Yes, yes. Well, I wanted to make a comment first on the Pansy Division, because I really like this album. It's
That's what, the third or fourth song we've played from them tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, fifth overall, but fourth from that album.
They have been around since about 1990, doing queer punk rock.
Oh, and, I know how I want to end the show.
They have really, really matured on this album. I see more protest music. I see...
This is a great album. I'm really enjoying it.
And they wrote a song for me, you know, about getting older. It's called 20 Years of Cock.
That's how I was going to end the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that
John Ginoli is a lot younger than I am. Since I started when I was four, I figure I'm the Heinz 57 of
like I said, that last song was about me.
Yeah, Dirty Young Man.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's kind of what I thought. Well, you know, you hear things. You know, the chain link fence.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I have...
Who you got with you?
I've got Boo Boo with me.
Hi, Boo Boo.
Eric Stutes. Eric Stutes with Southern Country Houston.
Yes, good morning.
And many other organizations.
What time clock are you on? This is evening still.
Oh.
If you haven't been to bed yet, it's still Saturday night.
All right.
And you have not been to bed.
No, I have not.
No,
not yet.
Not you. Not you.
I'm always awake.
Yes, yes. Southern Country is doing something, and I was shocked to see that it's the 17th annual, since Southern Country has really only been in the back of my mind for the last several years.
We've actually been around for 18 years now.
I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. The first year
Where
we did
have
not
I been?
Do it.
I feel like an idiot. I've been in media for the last 20 years, and...
We've just been hiding out, you know.
I got to be.
Yep, we're actually doing our 17th annual Sweethearts in Texas Spring Fling Hoedown.
Well, I have to admit that more and more people are getting to know Southern Country since you have been out more in the community doing fundraisers for different organizations and stuff like that. A lot more people know about Southern Country, I think.
Yeah, most definitely. We're trying to branch out a little bit. You know, predominantly we are at the BRB.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying to move from, you know, different club and different organizations.
Did it start out as a purely social club?
Yes, it actually started out a branch off of a nationwide group called Southern Country.
Oh.
And it was strictly social and strictly dance.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, it's evolved and turned into fundraising social club. And then, of course, we're doing the workshops and teaching country and Western dancing.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. So tell me all about the Sweethearts in Texas Spring Fling Hoedown.
That will be March 19th through the 22nd. That's coming up this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start off doing registration at the BRB at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
This is like a run.
Yes, very much. In the years past,
like
it was...
Like a clean Louie.
Yes, yes, a very clean Louie. So, but you can still come, really, you can.
I plan on it. In fact, Thursday...
Be sure to breathe hard first.
Right.
Thursday, I think G-Cam will be doing a cocktail party.
That's correct.
Around 7:30?
G-Cam will be doing a reception at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Okay.
Now you're having me think.
Sorry.
So that will kick off the hoedown, and then we'll move on to Friday, where we have our Friday Night Fever benefit show.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the dating game.
Oh.
So if you'd like to be like a contestant, we'll be glad to have you there. You never know who's behind the curtain, though.
Oh, that could be scary.
It could be.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of people lined up.
Yeah.
And knowing those folks, it's very scary. Very. So we'll be doing that.
Oh, I could name some names, but then I couldn't walk the streets safely.
They would hunt you down.
Yeah, they would.
And then followed by that, we'll be doing a bar crawl.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, that is a new addition to the hoedown this year. And then, of course, we get up Saturday morning bright and early, and we'll be over at George's for breakfast. That is going
some
to be...
Some of you, anyway.
Oh, all of us.
All of us, yeah.
And I'll make sure, you know, I'll come by, wake you up.
Yeah, thank you.
Make sure you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do that.
Mm-hmm. That is actually going to be sponsored by ICOH. They'll be providing breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Those bitches are getting up early to make breakfast?
Well, they said they would supply the breakfast. I don't know if they're going to be up. But
I can say that. I'm a member of ICOH.
They'll probably just have someone deliver it, you know. Who knows? I know if it was me, that's what I would do. And then we'll move on to EJ's for the afternoon.
Okay.
We'll be doing some drag racing over there.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. We'll be doing some other games that you'll have to show up and find out about.
Oh. You can play some fun games on EJ's patio.
Wow. I could take that in so many different directions.
It was meant to.
And the Colt 45s will be hosting a reception party over there for us.
Cool.
And then we move on to Chances, the new barn, for the evening. Starting at 7:30, we'll have several dance performances by Southern Country and Lone Star Lariats.
Mm-hmm.
The Dreamcatchers will be out.
Wow.
And, golly, that name has slipped my mind. The Belly Dance Group. Are you familiar with them?
No.
There is a belly dance group here in Houston. They're fabulous.
Women?
Yes, women.
Are there any men?
Well, you know, I signed you up, but you didn't show up for your first class.
Oh, yeah, everybody wants to see that.
Well, they won't let me do it. I've got too much, so... You know, oh well, things happen.
Oh well, no, that'll be fun. How many people are you expecting?
Currently, we have over 120 people that state they're coming. So
good.
It's going to be a really good
run
this week. And then, of course, Sunday morning, we start off back at Tony's for lunch, which will be supplied by Reese's.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are big. Some of those are big girls, and they put on a good feed. No, I've been to Reese's receptions. You don't go home hungry.
That's true.
That's
you
right.
You don't go home hungry. It's your own fault.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
You'll be taking food home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move back over to the BRB for a tea dance.
Ooh.
Between 2 and 4. Where the Bears will be hosting a reception at 3 o'clock.
Wow, how nice.
It is very nice. Yeah. We've got a lot of groups involved this year.
That's good. That's very good. How'd you do that?
You know, I don't know. It's just funny how that happened. I kind of threw people's names in a hat and drew them, and then I had to blackmail a couple of folks.
Yeah,
and they're doing it. And then Sunday night at the BRB,
See, when you own people, you can do that.
True. True. And you know,
at least you're on the negative. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for supplying some of those. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. You know, it's a funny how many people will actually help you when you ask directly after Louie. They just say, okay, yeah, sure.
They're still in that mood, I guess. I don't know.
Party mode.
And you're just very good at asking.
Yes, I am.
For some reason, I don't know. People can't say no to you.
Well, you know, I beg and plead and cry, and it seems to work.
And wear sexy underwear.
Really
and
cute.
Yeah?
And then you shame him into it.
You're right. Exactly. A lot of shame.
Nah, he doesn't have to do that.
Oh, sometimes you do.
This just sounds like a whole lot of fun.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. And people want to sign up? What do they have to do?
They will go to www.southerncountryhouston.com.
Okay. And so you are a SoCoHo?
I am. I currently, after this past week, I am the Southern Country Houston president.
No kidding!
No kidding. I don't know if it's congratulations or my sympathies. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out.
Six of one.
Both.
yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow.
And also make sure when you're out there that you come out tomorrow at 3 o'clock for our second annual scavenger hunt.
That's tomorrow already?
Tomorrow.
Wow.
So just bring your team out there.
And I want to tell you something.
Uh-oh.
Because I haven't had this notice very long.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, I think, last week and perhaps the week before that.
Correct.
That's not a lot of time for this or for this community to get organized for something like that. Can't we get stuff out a little earlier?
We actually
especially
can.
For the media?
Yeah. We definitely can.
The longer I have it, the more I can announce it.
That is true. It's actually been sitting on our website for about 6 months, but, you know, we just now started pushing it.
Yeah, see, it's I don't really have a lot of time to go to everybody's website to see what they're doing.
Correct, definitely.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
get your teams up.
You don't have a lot of time either.
Just put nudity up on it. Maybe I'll find it later.
Well, I'm so busy over at, you know, the arcades and you know.
Exactly. That's what I said.
Yeah.
We know why you don't have enough
time.
Well,
of course. I mean, I have to keep up with what's going on there.
I'll tell you which places you need to put what arcades you need to put your posters up in so you can.
Yeah, can you give me a list of those arcades? I'll make sure I put the flyers up in the right yeah, spots.
Exactly.
You know. Wallpaper about waist level.
It's hard to find glory holes anymore in Houston. There's so few places that have them.
But you know every place.
Yes, I do.
It's the law in the city limits.
Well, of course it is, but what's that got to do with anything?
No, it's a city ordinance.
It is a city ordinance.
It's a city ordinance.
Yeah.
It's fun reading.
In fact,
why do you think they came up with the whole toe tapping thing?
That's from long ago.
I know.
That's before there were arcades.
Yeah, you're the one that thought that up back in like the 20s.
Stop. I wasn't born until. Never mind.
Yeah.
Who do you think invented tap dancing?
You.
That's a lot of tapping.
Hello. I have. Worn out many pairs of tap shoes myself. Yes, indeedy.
No comment.
Okay. So tell me more about the scavenger hunt.
Great. Yep. The scavenger hunt is tomorrow at 3.
And that's a SoCo, a Southern Country.
That is a Southern Country event. All the events that we do, by the way, are benefiting this year, Camp Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is. And I have been to the facility. It's the most amazing facility I have ever seen for children in my life.
I agree. If
everything,
you've not been, you
need to everything go. There is wheelchair.
Accessible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tree houses, swimming pools, baseball fields. It doesn't matter. If you're in a wheelchair, you can participate in all of these things. And the bunk houses are just absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, and well maintained. It's just a fabulous place, and it's where people, children with HIV and AIDS, can go for a week and forget that they're freaky.
That's correct.
You know, they don't have to think about their pills. They don't have to think about what other people think of them. They don't have to worry about other people looking at them funny because everybody is equal there.
That's correct. And it's just their time to be kids.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of activities for them to enjoy being a kid.
Well, I went out there last year for Visitor's Day, and I was worn out by the end of the day with all the activities.
Yeah.
I got to participate with a lot of things, and I was truly amazed.
Isn't it an amazing place?
It is. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah. And it's worthy of our money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, anything more on that? Now, what's the deal?
You bring your team out.
How many in a team?
Five. Up to five in a team.
Up to five. Okay.
That's correct. It's $5 a person.
Okay.
And we will start you out at the BRB, and there is no telling where you're going to end up or what you're going to have to do.
Oh.
I know. Last year we had a auction at EJ's for whichever piece of clothing actually you thought would raise the most money. It was quite impressive.
I can
the
imagine.
Things people were taking off.
Uh-huh.
Just make sure you ask Daddy Rose about that one.
Ew.
However, Mr. Bunch actually got the most money for his article of clothing.
Oh, I can imagine, because it's so roomy.
Yes, it is.
That's only because it's all stretched out now.
You know, I was talking earlier in the show about Mr. Bunch, because we talked about him last week when the Colts were here.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the show, I can do the congratulations for him being Mr. BRB 2009, winning that last night. But there was an ugly rumor floating around that Mr. Bunch is able to swallow whole bananas. And I wanted to address that and see if anybody knew anything about it. Mr. Bunch was not here.
Mm-hmm.
And no one could confirm nor deny. So I...
I can confirm it. I've seen it.
I can confirm it. I've seen it as well.
Well, you see, I talked with Mr. Bunch after the show, and... he did confirm that not only is he able to do that, but he's also able to suck the seeds out of a pickle.
I thought that's
a pretty good talent. I don't know that I could do that.
See, that's the class you need to sign Jimmy up.
Yeah,
right.
When you can suck the seeds out of a pickle, wow.
That sounds like a great fundraiser,
that
right?
Sounds like a really
start a class.
Sounds like somebody I need to take lessons from.
It sounds like
true.
Yeah, that sounds like a really nasty euphemism.
Sounds like the title of a show.
Oh my!
That's what I'm going to call it from now on. That's a nice little euphemism. I suck the seed out of your pickle.
Wow.
Thank you, Stephen, for that one.
Yes, thanks to my cold brother.
It's getting warm in here now.
So, the scavenger hunt.
Yes, the scavenger hunt.
Weren't we talking about the scavenger hunt?
Yes.
The scavenger hunt.
Yes.
Is that what they call it?
You have to find pickles.
I am going to add that on the list tonight.
And a spittoon to put the seeds in.
Yes, there you go.
And a trash can for the peel.
And everybody is vying for Mr. Bunch to be on their team, I guess.
Obviously. Now I know what we're going to do on the patio of BJ's. I've been kind of lost up until now.
You going to have a bunch of bananas there?
Yeah. Bananas and pickles.
I'll have to show up for that one, too.
Woo!
So, you know, initially...
Remember
last week
we talked about my banana abilities.
Yes, he can do it, too. Wes can do that.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, who can't swallow a whole banana?
Can we?
Well, I never tried. I don't know if I can.
I proved it to one of my coworkers last week.
Hello?
We're
not talking about those little...
Am I the only one in the room that's never tried to swallow a whole banana?
Apparently.
Thank you.
You're too busy doing other things.
Well, right.
Yeah, your knees are always too dirty.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, we started off with three teams.
Somebody go get me a banana.
And I just know we're going to have like 10, 12 teams by now. Everyone's going to be showing up trying to get on Mr. Bunch's team. And we're going to have to like draw
a
number.
I know.
Get
me a banana.
If you show up with a pickle, you get to be on Steven's team.
No, you're not going to have more teams. You're just going to have a whole lot of cheerleaders.
That's right. You heard it here first.
Oh,
please bring
that
your pickle
like so
to the second
fun.
Annual scavenger hunt.
Eric, thank you for being on After Hours.
Thank you.
And come back soon. We have fun.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely we'll do that.
Okay, and keep us up with Southern Country and what's going on.
I will.
Because it's an important organization.
And I will go and post all this in the arcade, so that way you know
where it is. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Relax and have fun.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Time for music.
Yep. I'm going to play a little Pansy Division and get Leather Ties started.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
Tap me on the ass. Welcome to After Hours Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert. I'm your host, along with Master Buzz Lawson, my co-host. Good evening, Buzz.
Good evening.
Everybody had a good Louie from what I heard earlier. That's good.
I'm still trying to survive it.
Yes, and since Chris has retired as the pen master, I think we need to make Jimmy the new pen master after this past Louie.
That's what I kept telling him. I said, you know, according to, you know, you go back and watch the videos, and Bob Bowden was just riding him for... I'm still trying to remember who's the traditional guy who always seems to be pinning him.
That's Chris.
Chris Brooks.
Chris Brooks.
No, not Chris. African-American, tall...
Oh, Kevin Henry.
Kevin Henry. Kevin, yeah.
I've gotten to where I can recognize Kevin from the top of his head.
Yeah. It's like, Kevin, you're losing hair. Your hair pattern has changed. You're getting that yarmulke spot.
Because I was teasing him and another guy, Wes, who was hanging around there. It's like, they were the salt and pepper of slutdom during Louie.
No, I think we're going to make Jimmy the new pen master. A few years ago, when Chris retired, he gave me his pen master hat. It's a construction hat. And it's from a real company that used to be here in Houston, a construction company called BJ Services.
They're still here.
Okay. So I have this construction hat that I'm going to pass on to Jimmy as the new pin master. I'll bring it next month, if not sooner.
I was just thinking of, you know, calling it the golden knee pad award.
The gold. Ooh, nope. Him, probably platinum knee pads. That's what he needs.
He needs some knee pads and sew some gold sequins on them.
Yeah. Well, at his age, you know, it's going to be more titanium.
Titanium. No, with, yeah. Titanium with springs, okay? That we get him back up. Although he likes it down there anyway, so... So tonight on Leather Ties, I want to start out saying everybody had a great Louis weekend. We broke a record.
I couldn't believe
with
that.
With attendance. That was incredible. 3 years ago, we broke a record, and we just broke our own record. Again,
like
this year.
1,140 people?
1,100 and I think... 29. 1,129. So that was incredible. From 38 states, 5 countries, and a couple of other territories and provinces.
200 cities.
200 cities. I think, what was it, 320 different clubs were represented, if I remember right.
Something along that line.
So, it was an incredible Louis event. Nicole is here this evening with us. Hello, Nicole.
Hello. How's everybody today?
And my baby bear is here, Clayton. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I want to start out by saying that there is going to be a DM training class that is coming up that is being put on by Master Bear and Casey. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th. The times will be from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. DM training, for those of you who aren't familiar with this, is DM stands for Dungeon Monitor. Basically, you will be learning DM and BDSM first aid training classes. You'll be getting American Heart Association CPR training. The fee for that is $10. This is a discounted rate for this program only, for the DM training class. Regularly, it's much higher to get your CPR certification. So, but as a DM, you need to have CPR certification, so that the class will come with CPR training and certification. If you want to register for this event, for the DM training class, Master Bear is the one who is going to be hosting this. His email address is, and I'm going to spell this out for you, because pronouncing it, you'll never understand it. It is WEISSEKNECHT@AOL.com. And, again, it's going to be Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if you contact him, he will get you the location and directions once you've registered for the DM training class. To give you a course description, basically, the Dungeon Monitor's position goes well beyond just simply watching players. The DM must possess a wide range of skills that include interpersonal and group communication, knowledge of conflict resolution, an understanding of playroom etiquette. And playroom etiquette is very different from just basic leather protocol or public protocol. And equipment safety, because there's a lot of different equipment, from slings to hanging crosses to horses to all kinds of different equipment. And this also includes equipment that people will be bringing in. Floggers, wax, whatever else that is going on at that dungeon party or that scene. So having an understanding of playroom etiquette and equipment safety, the ability to work with security issues, and to have the ability to be the first contact with EMS or law enforcement officials if that becomes necessary, and how to go about this and when it is necessary to call an EMS or law enforcement. The DM certification program is designed for those who volunteer to be the line of defense for people in these situations at these different play parties, and there are certain core skills you need to have. Certification is awarded upon successful completion of all course modules. This is a 2-day training program. You show up for both days, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, Sunday. It is a 2-day thing. You miss one day, you miss part of it. Sorry, you're just going to have to take the class again. In the morning session of day one, basically you're going to have the core basics and intervention skills. This course provides foundation for handling DM situations, dungeon monitoring situations. Topics include a dungeon monitor's mindset, how to manage the floor management, which is basically what that is, communication strategies between the DMs and other people, as well as being a dungeon monitor. You're not the only person there who's monitoring. You will have a team that you're working with. So how to work with your team in a crisis situation. It also includes suggesting policies for handling security issues, protecting member safety, the members participating in the play, in the event, and solutions for inordinate members, and working with surprise visits from law enforcement agencies and how to deal with these different types of issues and things that come up and things that arise. Then you will have crisis intervention. Basically, this involves, well, often interpersonal tensions surface in a dungeon, and the DM is called upon to intervene before a situation erupts or into violence or causes a lot of disruption to other players that are there. This can happen when two DOMs get into it over who's playing who, how they're playing, and if they're not familiar with the person they are playing, somebody's more familiar. I mean, there's so many things that could come up. This course basically, the Crisis Intervention course basically introduces the concepts of nonviolent crisis management and how to recognize the points of departure as individuals move from phase to phase. Then, the WIS system, DMs are required to make judgment calls on how people play, their play styles, and call them into question if they need to. If you see somebody flogging or whipping and you see what they're doing is not, they're not correctly throwing the flogger and they could be causing permanent damage, these are things you need to know. And this course introduced this WIS system kind of basically tells you how to look out for this, what to know. You need to be familiar with different areas of play. And the system also, the WIS system gives you the tools as a dungeon monitor to make objective calls and prescribe prudent action. The course observes a wide range of play styles and identifies crisis situations to be aware of. Of which to be aware, excuse me, never end a sentence in a preposition, right? My bad. This also includes safety equipment usage. So that also means first aid kits, fire extinguishers, whatever, because you never know if there's going to be fire play. I mean, different events have different scenes going on. And so anyway, the afternoon session on that first day, BDSM dungeon first aid responders and strategy and techniques for administering different types of first aid. It's going to cover common accidents. Common accidents can include care for deep tissue bruises, sprains, abrasions, frictions, burns, split skin wounds, cuts, embedded objects. No comments from the peanut gallery on that. And allergic reactions, because there are different scenes, like I said, that involve different things, and somebody might be allergic to something you're using. So if there's an allergic reaction, that's why that is covered as well. How to use a fire extinguisher. When not to use a fire extinguisher. extinguishing fires with wet towels, a fire extinguisher, caring for natural burns, open flames, electrical burns, different types of burns like that, distress, fainting and extraction techniques. Occasionally the player becomes distressed, they collapse, they pass out because they hit that euphoria and they just fade out. And
hey, I kill Joe once a year.
Yeah, that was funny. But this course, the distress, fainting, and extraction techniques, that course covers these situations. It teaches you how to identify subs in distress versus a sub who's just in their headspace. How to extract this person or these people, and body handling, transportation methods of handling somebody who's in distress. And this also includes somebody who's, if they've been roped or they're in some kind of bondage gear, how to get them out of it safely without hurting them, damaging them further, and taking care of them obviously, afterwards, from everything from rope, chain, handcuffs, whatever. So that's basically what the first day is going to cover. The second day, the morning session, is going to be go beyond first aid. On very rare occasions, things like equipment collapses or a player sustains a very serious injury, this course addresses working to stabilize back, neck injuries, fractures, concussions, things like this. Topics covering how to make the 911 call and how to report the situation, working with and dealing with the arriving EMS or law enforcement personnel. Then the second day, the afternoon, you'll have your CPR training class. And after that, Master Bear will certify you as a DM if you get it and certify you for CPR. Again, the course is basically, it is a two-day course. It is worth your while to go to this course if you're in the leather lifestyle and you do go to different events and play parties and things. This is being brought to you. The course is sponsored locally by the National Leather Association Houston and HPEP, Houston People Exchanging Power. Master Bear is a member of both NLA Houston and HPEP. He has taught this course several times. He's very knowledgeable about dungeon monitoring, and if you're interested in it, he is the man to learn from.
And worthy of note is the fact that Master Bear is an accredited instructor.
Yes.
For CPR and first aid certification. So when you get a certificate from him, you're getting it from an accredited instructor.
Yes, most definitely. So Master Bear and Casey is one of his subs. They are going to be your trainers in the situation in this two-day dungeon monitoring class. So again, if you have this interests you, you want to get to this event. I know he schedules them one about every 3 months or so, 3 or 4 months. So about 4 times a year, he does a DM training class. Contact Master Bear. His email address, spelling it out again, weisse.kn@AOL.com. So,
it seems to me that anybody who is going to engage in SM play should take some form of first aid training. So, you might want to look into this, even if you don't want to be a dungeon monitor. You might want to look into taking this course anyway. It's always good when you're going to go into SM play to know something about first aid and safety, especially if you're going to be dominant in any play scene. You should know what the safety aspects are in that play scene and how to deal with something if it does go wrong.
But again, just as much being a sub, you should know what to expect and how to protect yourself and care for yourself in the event.
So whether you're going to be a dungeon monitor or not, this is a great course to take. If you're going to engage in any kind of SM play,
it is an incredible course. It is a lot of information that is incredibly useful. Whether or not you ever offer or volunteer your services as a dungeon monitor or not, this is stuff you really need to know if you plan on going to play parties, events that are sponsored by many of the clubs here in Houston. Whether it's a public play party or a privately scheduled play party, this course will really open your eyes on how to care and take care of yourself and other people.
Which segues into one of our topics for tonight, I believe.
Yeah.
Knowing the difference between play and abuse.
And to... Oh, Chris, will you cue up that song? That wonderful... Nope, not that one. I Want This Girl... She's the one. I want this girl to actually go back and listen to her own song and listen to the lyrics of her song and start breaking dishes until the po-po arrive. Because if she gets back with this Mr. Brown, she's going to be in trouble. This is Rihanna, and this is going into what we're talking about tonight.
I've been a fool.
And Rihanna, I just want to say we all love you, we all support you, but honey, take a cue from your own song. Get the hell out of that place. Get away from that man. I know you hear on Entertainment E! Channel and all this crap, she secretly married him this past weekend or something. It's like, honey, you're asking for trouble.
It's beneficial to him because as his wife...
It's not beneficial. It doesn't matter. It's still...
She can't
a violent attack.
Him. I know, but she can't testify against him by marrying her.
Well, she can't be forced to.
Yeah,
no.
Forced.
But
she's still paying.
With all the evidence they have, the text message, the photographs taken of her, and everything else, by all accounts. Oh, why do they say he allegedly did this? He did it. He admitted to doing it.
Yeah.
And in 5 years, I see her ending up, her and Robin Givens getting a little condo together, and Mr. Brown and Mike Tyson moving in together.
Well, that's only if that's only if there isn't a body bag involved first.
The interesting thing is that there was a poll done of teenagers, I think it was in Boston, and 75% of them said that she has partially to blame.
She asked for it. No.
That's horrible.
Nobody asked to be hit.
Yeah.
I don't. If you can't control your temper, I mean, I don't care what you say to somebody else. If the only way you know how to react is to beat the pulp out of somebody, shoot them, kill them, or stab them, there's something wrong with you.
Because if
you have to resort to physical violence, there you need some lessons in love.
It seems strange to me that here we are. This is 2009, and we're still dealing with kids in school with 1950s attitudes.
Yeah, but it's because it stems from what they went through growing up. Violence breeds violence. So when they grow up in a violent home, they end up. It ends up. It's a vicious circle.
It's called the cycle of abuse.
Yes, but. Speaking of cycles of abuse, a virgin just arrived.
That ain't no
My
virgin.
My cycle of abuse has begun again.
Oh, whatever. You know you laugh
at me. Have you actually woken up from Louie?
The problem with the victims of abuse is not so much that they are initially victims, but there is a syndrome called abuse addiction. And these people actually internalize that they have to stay in this relationship in order to improve that person, to make them whole, to make them well. And when that relationship ends, hopefully not in a body bag, and if it isn't a body bag, they go back into another abusive relationship.
But it's not just that. It also has to do with if they were abused as a child, they believe that the only way to be able to have love is to be abused. That is their vision of what love is.
And abusers are the same.
Well, I won't say that. I'll make it a little broader. Because little Mr. Brown has already admitted that he grew up in an abusive household watching his father beat on his mother all the time. So
that's how he learned
how to love somebody. That's what he learned was acceptable to do.
Well, he said that he had learned that this was not the thing to do.
He wasn't the one
and that
abused,
he would never do that.
It doesn't
matter. And then we see him on the national news.
And what's the first thing he does?
Up.
He beat the crap out of
him. You're not listening to what I said.
No, you said children. That
children
were abused.
Being abused, though, can be, say a female, as an example, is abused as a child.
Yeah.
When she gets into a relationship where she's being abused as an adult, she feels she deserves it because that's the only way she can receive love.
Right. But
that's what I'm talking about.
The abuser.
It's the programming.
The person doing the abusing.
It's programming both ways.
Oh, I know there is. But
well, many abusers were abused as children.
Right, exactly.
Men and women who are abusers grew up generally being abused and turning it around and trying to feel like the powerful person
exactly.
in that relationship feel
exactly.
that in order to do that they have to be abusive.
Right.
But
that's
think
their protection.
The sad part about this is these are only kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's what, 19 years old? She just barely turned 20?
Well, look at the statistics of.
She was 19 when it happened.
Yeah.
Look at the statistics of high school students involved in relationships who are saying that. I mean, they're saying that 60% of high school girls are saying that they have been struck by a boyfriend. Now, they're only admitting to being struck how many times? How badly? Were they hospitalized? How many of these kids were hospitalized for it? And they go right back to the same partner, which is what I'm trying to say. This is an abuse. Addiction. They become addicted to the abuse because it gives them...
But again, I don't even think it's so much they're addicted to the abuse. When you are abused by somebody and that person apologizes and grovels, oh, I'll never do it again, never do it again, you have in your mind what... He promised not to hit me anymore, no. And if I'm with him,
no.
He'll keep that promise. And no. It's like, no, that's not going to happen, honey. Get out.
It's a cycle. My advice.
He hits you once, he's going to hit you again, and next time it's going
to
be worse.
My advice to anybody who is...
Keep in mind, though, that is not always true. There are times where people have lashed out and not done it again. There are
That's very rare.
Very rarely.
It is very rare. It is very rare. But the... I grew up personally in a very abusive situation.
How many people end up that are in jail right now is because of abuse just like this? They killed their spouse. They mm-hmm. And it was either just like Burning Bed, Miss Farrah Fawcett. They either killed the spouse who was abusing them, or they killed the spouse they were abusing.
Burning Bed was actually it was actually a true story.
Yes, I know.
Well, they also talked tonight when we were watching CNN.
Oh, yeah, we were watching CNN. They were talking about
the fact that there are a lot of males that are between 16 and 19 who are in jail because they've killed the abuser, which was their father.
Yeah.
And so
their father
the
was abusing
went,
their mother, and they killed
and
their
they
father.
They killed their father
the
to stop the abuse.
And they go to jail for this. So they're being
they
punished
being
for doing the right
or
thing.
Or they were being abused, too.
My advice to anybody in a relationship that has been violent in any way, the first time they hit you, hit the door and don't stop running. Get out.
Definitely.
Because it starts with a push, then it becomes a slap, then it becomes a doubled up fist, and then there's a body bag involved.
Yeah, and then it becomes
it
knives and guns and anything else.
It
Nicole,
doesn't stop.
You were saying, before I cut you off, I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
you,
that's okay.
You're saying you grew up in a strange household.
Yeah, my stepdad, he beat my mom constantly. I have to say, well, my mom was about in her almost ninth month of being pregnant with my twin sisters, and I remember her having to go to the hospital from him beating her. And what happened to me is I grew up seeing the abuse, seeing that my mom would get beat, my mom would fight back, and I think instead I wasn't going to be my mom, I ended up becoming the other person. I ended up becoming the abuser. I got married to somebody, and although he was abusive too, I was the one who always started it. I would throw things, I would push him, and there was only one time ever that he attacked me that it was not provoked by me. And I've carried that a long time, and there really hasn't been a relationship that I haven't been in where I haven't been pushed to that breaking point. It's really hard for me to, once I'm there, to recognize that I'm there. And so it's something that you have to constantly get help for. You have to constantly help yourself for it. And
well, see, I think you bring up something very valid, and something they never talk about and they never cover is how many female spouses are abusing the male?
More than...
And, you know, I mean, especially
because
in a household you grew up in where you saw the woman being a victim, being victimized. You said, I'm not going to be that. You went completely 180 on that, and you became the abuser.
Right.
And...
But those...
But nobody talks about the guy being abused because, you know...
It's a macho thing.
It's so taboo because it's that macho man thing. It's like, well, your wife beat you. What's wrong with you?
Well, you know...
But guys are also taught, don't hit a woman.
I guess in my experience, what I've generally seen where the woman has been the abuser is she ends up in a relationship with somebody who's equally as abusive as she is. She's the provoker. They both end up beat up, but everybody looks at the man for it.
One uses emotional abuse while the other uses physical abuse to combat.
Both, there are sometimes it's both right. using it physical abuse.
Well, what you're talking about, women being abusers with men who are abusers, women tend to be more into the emotional and verbal abuse,
well, I'm talking,
where men are more physical with it.
I'm talking, and I've done it too. I've provoked the situation mm-hmm. where I've...
You've egged him to,
I've
on.
I've hit him and pushed at him, or and then all of a sudden he beats me up and then I can victimize myself. Like, that was a real problem that I had, because I think that, because in every abusive situation that does eventually happen, it's
you don't feel whole or complete without it? What?
No, how do I explain this? Okay, if my mom could call in right now, this is what she would say. After so long of being abused, you feel like you want to be the one in control of the abusive situation. So you provoke the situation, even though you know it's going to happen. If you start,
but you think
it out,
if you start it, you can control it.
Right. That happens. I think that's what ultimately starts happening to abused people in a relationship, whether they be the man or the woman. In a woman-on-woman relationship, on a man-on-man, it doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in. When you're with somebody abusive, after a while, you start feeling that way. You start feeling like the only way to control the situation is to become the perpetrator by provoking it. But then you can start victimizing yourself at the same time, and you can hold that victim status.
But again, you're doing that to him. He's playing the victim as well, saying, well, the only reason I'm doing this is because she's provoking me and I've got to protect myself. I'm the victim. So it's a no-win situation.
Right. Exactly.
And again, this goes back to what I was saying about abuse addiction. People who grow up being abused feel like that validates their relationship as being a true and valid relationship. It justifies them if they can get that person to abuse them. And that way, yes, you may be controlling it, but you're asking for that abuse. That's what I'm getting at, the abuse addiction. It's programmed.
Okay, let's hit a station identification. We'll be right back.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Back to Leather Ties. We're talking about domestic abuse, BDSM, and the leather community.
Well, I want to speak on the fact of being somebody who was abused as a child and abused as an adult male. And I'm sorry, I don't think that I provoked the abuse as a child or as an adult. But I get myself into relationships where I was abused because that was the only way I felt like I was being loved.
But that's all right. You knew. That's how you
that's
were raised.
That's all I knew. But it was a feeling of love that I was getting out of it.
Right. And growing up being abused, you're programmed into that. And so you learn to recognize your abuser in strangers' eyes. You learn to recognize abusers and you feel drawn to them because that's what validates you.
That's what you consider love.
That's what you consider love, yes.
Right. I had the same situation. The day my parents' divorce was final, the police came to remove my father from the household and my mother was wearing sunglasses because he had broken her nose and she had two black eyes. We were beaten with an oak board. And when I grew out of that, when I left home, yes, I recognized the abuser in the eyes of strangers, and I drew it to me. I ended up in three different abusive relationships where I was the victim. I was the abused, but I finally had to face the fact that I was actually asking for this.
I wasn't asking for it all. It had nothing to do with
not
that.
Consciously, not consciously.
Just
I was gravitating.
Open for it.
I was actually gravitating toward people who were abusers
without even realizing you're
because
doing
that's
it.
Right. You. What do they always say? You end up with somebody who reminds you of the strong person in your family.
Exactly.
So if the strong person in your family is really actually the weak abuser of the family, you're going to find yourself drawn to that type of person because that's what you know to be safe, whether you know it or
you know, well, I wouldn't say safe. You know what to expect.
Right.
I was in a relationship, though, for 5 years where no physical abuse ever occurred. And all of a sudden, bam, out of the clear blue, it happened.
Mm.
And I don't think that I was asking for it. No. I don't think it was something I sought out. And I don't think it's something, when I got into the relationship, it was somebody which the reason I thought it was a good reason for us to have a relationship, it was somebody who had been abused. And so I thought, because we both came from that background, it was going to make it so we could understand and wouldn't abuse.
You could heal one another.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
And it doesn't.
You learned that, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
So did I.
But, I mean, the situations vary. It's not an absolute on anything.
I know.
And we keep trying to make absolutes here of this is the way it is. No, it varies in each separate relationship.
The one thing that is absolute is if it gets violent, get out.
Yes.
But a lot of people...
I can't say that I always agree with... Well, yes, you should get out.
Yes.
But a lot of people have nowhere to go. They don't have friends who will take them in or help them, or they don't think their friends will.
Okay. These people, that's, you have to think of these people
and that's
much
the key.
Like a drug
That's
addict.
A really good point.
But if you think, I've got to get out, I know I've got to get out, but I have nowhere to go, I don't have enough money to get my own place, I don't have money for a hotel, and...
What about at your house?
I've got a lot of, like, little acquaintances and friends that I meet out, but I don't know that... any of them would take me in, so I'm not going to even bother to try to call.
Chances are they may not even tell you. It's an embarrassing situation.
This is
right.
This is something that I really, really feel I must hit on. Too many people go through these things in their lives and fail to cry out for help to the people who, if they find out later that you needed help and you didn't ask, would be disappointed in you because you didn't trust them enough to ask. Your friends love you, they want to be there for you, and if you don't give them that opportunity, then it's your own, can I say that word? Your own damn fault.
Yes.
There are times you don't have friends, though. Believe me, you can be in situations where there are people who are not
your If you friends. Get yourself into a situation where you suddenly you realize that you don't have friends anymore, somebody has taken control of your life and isolated you.
Yeah.
Get out.
But again,
run
the scary,
to a that's, shelter,
but again,
run
that's
somewhere.
A very scary thing for somebody. Get out
exactly.
Where?
You know what?
I mean, they've got, what, 15, 20 shelters in this city for abused women. They're, I don't know.
Where's
one.
You're lucky to get to the doors and be accepted, though.
Okay, great. But I don't.
Not,
do you,
not hard, there's
name,
hardly ever room.
Name one shelter that takes in abused men. Name
none.
One.
None.
Probably
not a single
none.
One.
Especially an abused gay man.
Search will take you,
find
but not
one.
Because you've been abused. I mean, Project Search, they do really wonderful work with homeless, but they're not going to take you simply because you've been abused. There's
and
no
you,
programs
okay,
for gay men.
For the homeless, you drive up in your car and say, help, you're not homeless, you got a car, you obviously have a place to live, you can afford a car.
Right.
Actually, there is a place you can go, and that's the Montrose Counseling Center. They will find you a place. You call them, they will pick you up, they will find you a place to stay, and they will... They will help you find a place to stay permanently, and they will help subsidize
until you get back on your
until
feet.
Until you're able to get back on your
Listen,
feet.
The women's shelters have. I just went through this with somebody that I'm associated with through one of my jobs. The Texas Women's Center will actually come and pick them up. Will assign them a false name to give to a cab driver. To take them to a safe house, and they will guard and protect that person. Gay men do not have that.
The Montrose Counseling Center will do that. I know that from personal experience. I know they will do it. They will pick you up. They will take you someplace safe. And then after the cool-down period has happened within 48 hours, then they try to find you a permanent place to stay and subsidize you until you can get back on your feet. And it is there. Nobody uses it, though. That's the issue. And people are not aware of the fact that it's there.
Okay, and one of the reasons that people aren't using it is because abuse within gay relationships is underreported. If it is ever reported.
Exactly.
But see, that's the
because
thing
Because the
we
mainstream
need to bring
focus
out.
Is on men beat women, that's it.
No. I agree.
That's the mainstream focus.
Exactly.
Women beat men. Women beat women. Men beat men. It's it
abuse
doesn't matter.
Is abuse.
I think it
Your sexuality
goes
has nothing to do with it.
With the fact that our society naturally victimizes women.
Yes.
So obviously, in a
well,
relationship,
it's funny they objectify them. but they victimize them at the same time.
Exactly. I mean, we're so precious.
You know, they want everybody to look like that gorgeous chick on that billboard, but when she dresses like that and gets raped, it's her fault.
Right.
Right.
Excuse me. Make up your minds.
Right.
You want everybody to look like Barbie so we can pull her arms off.
It's just like, what was that dumb Jodie Foster movie, The Accused or whatever? Well, she was dressed like that. She was asking for it. No.
Right.
Nobody's asking for it.
Provocatively.
But, you know, she's dressed like that because that's what pop culture tells them to dress like. And they buy into it.
That's what the 13-year-old and then they get.
Yeah, and then
stage.
And if you watch mainstream media or even mainstream movies, we celebrate men behaving like animals.
We do.
Yes,
oh,
we
women.
Do.
Okay, well, women too. Look at Sex and the City. Okay, but at least that's a funny.
You know, we've only just started to explore that.
No, actually, if you actually look at filmography through the last 30 years, you'll see quite a few movies about that.
I mean, I know one of my favorite movies.
Bound.
I love old movies from the 50s and. So I know it's not a new concept, but to that extent to...
Oh, please, anything with Barbara Stanwyck in it. You know she's an uber bitch that was just all over the men. So, yeah, okay.
Or what is it? How to Marry a Millionaire with Marilyn Monroe? Uh-huh. Was that the movie? That was one that reminded me a lot of Sex and the City. You know, it was just very sans the sexuality. That's what I'm saying
well,
is relatively
back then,
new
that was,
is showing
yeah, but again,
that women have this vulgar
really.
Sexuality.
Because back then
to
that
men,
was
so.
Very risque. Back then, that was a very risky movie.
I don't agree with the fact that we said that when somebody dresses to be looking very provocative, that they're not asking for it. I disagree with that. There are certain things that are way over the edge.
Oh, wait a minute. Aren't these the clothes that designers are marketing? And even to children.
Well,
exactly.
We should compare the GQ magazine here to the GQ magazine you can buy on the newsstands in almost every other country.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, European country. The women here are scantily clad, just hiding enough. There, it's not. They're generally topless.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the domestic violence, the rapes, they're all much lower.
Well,
there.
But so the reason why is because America, with its Christian values, have made sex something very dirty.
Puritanical yes, exactly. values.
Yes.
We are the most sexually repressed country on the planet.
Europe, they are very progressive with that. When they edit movies here to show on TV, they edit out the sex scenes and the nude scenes. When they edit movies in Europe, in most countries in Europe, they'll leave the sex scenes in, they'll leave the nudity in, they'll edit the violence.
Right.
You know, if you go watch The Terminator or one of these bang bang shoot 'em up movies, they'll edit out the very violent scenes, but they'll leave the sex scenes in. And that's the big difference. They are okay with sexuality. They are okay with their own bodies there. Here, it's something very dirty.
Here, we're not going to show it to you. We're going to tease you with
it. It's that old saying we have.
We'll show you violence so you can get to that point.
It's just like that one of my favorite lines in Victor Victoria. You can kill him, you just can't kiss him.
That's it.
You know?
God love Robert Preston.
Yeah. And, you know, that Flaming Queen didn't even ever come out of the closet like he needed to until after he died he was outed. But, you know.
Oh, please. Like, he was outed in Victor Victoria.
But that's like, you know, people saying that is like, when I was a kid, I was like, Mom, how can you not know Rock Hudson was gay? I was a 9-year-old kid
because
and I saw.
He was hot.
Well, I was a 9-year-old kid watching some Doris Day Rock Hudson movie, and my mother slapped me upside the head when I said he's a sissy.
But you knew at that age
well,
more
of course
about
I
yourself.
Knew.
There are some of us who did not blossom into our sexuality until a whole lot later in our lives.
Okay, so that's why you're playing catch up.
I was a virgin until I was 19 years
and
old.
You're
I
dipping,
had no idea.
And you're dipping fries in it.
There are some people that...
Where'd that banana? Where's the banana? I thought you were getting
Where
a banana.
Where are those pickles?
Yeah, he was going to swallow a banana seat. For us.
I want to see the sucking seeds.
If you
want
the guys to
pickle.
Run down to Walgreens or Kroger's, I'll do it.
Okay. Tell Virgin to go get you a banana. Virgin, go get bananas.
I don't talk to Virgin.
Okay, I just talked to him.
There wouldn't be any left when he gets back.
Huh?
There wouldn't be any back. It wouldn't have any...
Never mind.
Yeah. There wouldn't be any when he got back.
I almost feel as though I've come into this extremely too unprepared, because we're talking about all of these resources for people, and we didn't bring phone numbers. If you look, they are in the business white pages for Houston. You can look up the Texas Women's Center.
Or online.
As well as the Montrose Counseling Center.
Right. Online, just Google and type in the words. You know how to use Google. You know how to use Yahoo search engine. Montrose Counseling Center, perfect place if you're gay, male or female, and need some help.
The resources are there. For God's sake, please, if you need help, don't fail to get it.
Now, that is domestic abuse, and it's interesting that most of us in this room are leather, BDSM, or kinksters, fetish players.
I'm so happy you
define that up. You define yourself as a dom. I'm a dom. He's a dom. He's a dom. What?
Wouldn't you like to be a dom too? Dom. Oh,
sorry. Wouldn't you like to be a dommy too? So, taking domestic violence and physical violence in general, even emotional violence and verbal violence, we're all in the leather BDSM fetish community. Now, you come from an abusive place, and you have been an abuser.
And I've been the abused.
Right. As you have, as I have.
Where am I?
You're there too.
Well, you too, but I mean, when it comes to play, you're usually not an abuser.
You're in a studio in a radio station in Houston, Texas.
You like to be set on fire or electrocuted and fun things like that.
I mean, I like to do, well, especially with electricity, I like to do it.
I
want to
watch that.
Electricity?
All of them.
Oh.
Oh, well, you missed it during Louie.
What do you mean
during
you want to watch?
It's that baby bear on fire. You know, they did fire play on him and all that.
Well, I'll watch first. And then I'll participate after.
Okay.
The fire was fun.
That's actually a very good attitude, wanting to watch first and then participate after.
Yeah, you need to watch and learn, yes.
Yes.
So
because
everybody's different on how they like things.
Mm-hmm.
So watch, see what they like, and then participate.
Yeah, but watch. If you're watching, it's best to watch somebody who is actually known for knowing how.
Yes.
So that you learn how to do it the right way.
And again, we can get you in contact with people if you want to train and learn how to do it.
Well, there's a few things that I need to learn how to do better.
But the line that we draw is so fine between what is called abuse in the public eye and what we call play.
Play is consensual. That's the difference.
Oh, I have a motto that I use. I would love to hurt you. I don't want to harm you.
That's one thing I think that a lot of people misunderstand about the leather lifestyle and BDSM in general, is it isn't we abusers over here finding our...
victims.
Yes, our victims and then victimizing them. As a matter of fact, a lot of us have taken that rough road, or at least I can say that I have, is recognizing the difference between when it's abuse and when it's consensual, and directing what is sadism to the proper resource or to somebody who is masochistic. For so long, it was, I call it displaced or misplaced sadism. I needed that outlet and was growing up in Salt Lake City, Utah. I didn't exactly have a local store.
That's masochistic all by itself.
No, that explains a lot. That explains why you look so much like an Osmond.
I know. I'm beautiful with a perfect smile.
Yeah, I was going to say, she does. She's got perfect white teeth. It's just like, it's so Osmond.
And you
want
to know what? I think I'm the only person in Salt Lake who didn't go to that one dentist. These are all natural. I have never had braces.
What they say about the Osmonds, the joke, their teeth were born 3 weeks before they were, you know?
Oh.
You never heard that?
I go back to visit my family and I look because, comparatively speaking, I'm only second generation American, so my history is not that very perfect smile Osmond look there. We're kind of the odd family to Salt Lake.
Oh, where, so you're not the Osmonds, you're the Oddmans.
Right, we're the Oddmans. We got good teeth, we've got great...
Her name is Nicole Oddmans.
Straight smiles, but we don't have that weird kind of cloned look that many people in Salt Lake have.
Now, you know what I know what you're wanting to say, but you won't say. You're going to offend the Mormons. You don't have that cloned Mormon look, right?
I don't think we do.
Black slacks, white shirt, knock on doors, bicycle.
That Stepford human look.
Right. That's exactly
the Stepford look. That's it.
Yes, I see. And the girls there are usually bleach blonde or naturally blonde with super tan skin. I think if you're going to open a tanning salon, do it there.
Okay, I want to say to everybody
Salt Lake City is in the desert.
Now, what I want to say to everybody right now, that uber tan look that you're talking about.
It's spread on.
I have two words to say. I have four words.
It's winter. Uh-huh.
Okay, I got five words to say to you people who over tan. Something about Mary Old Lady. Okay, think about that. That's what you're going to look like in 20 years, all right?
Don't talk about our dog like that.
Oh, we're going to play a couple of songs here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about BDSM, leather fetish, and the differences between abuse and play.
We're going to smoke, so smoke them if you got them.
Yay!
Oh.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to After Hours on KPFT. This is the Leather Ties Show. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, your host, with my co-host, Mr. Master Buzz Lawson.
Hello.
Nicole is in the house. Nicole Oddman. She's not an Osmond. She's an Oddman.
Mm-hmm.
And Baby Bear Clayton is here. And Virgin, the peanut gallery, is sitting in the back here. And to go back and recap the songs we played tonight.
That's not a peanut.
Well, okay.
Chickpea?
No,
not even close.
No, not even
Brazil chickpea. Nut?
I haven't figured it out.
He's a big old pumpkin!
Yeah. He's a big old hairy redhead. So if you like furry red bears, talk to Virgin. That's him.
Right here. And my nipples are pierced.
You're what? Oh, yes, his nipples are pierced, so you know.
That was more information than I needed to know.
I was going
to
say thank you for that.
Yeah, that's called oversharing.
Get it out. Was that a public service announcement?
Yeah, that was a PSA.
CMI.
Yeah.
From the department to put up or
oh,
shut
we,
up.
We have bananas.
We finally got bananas.
Okay, while we're getting the bananas ready, the music we've been listening to so far tonight, the first song was by Keoki. It was a redo of Frankie Goes to Hollywood, their song Relax. Those of you who don't know who Keoki is, I'm talking to you. Those of you who don't know who Keoki is, if you go rent the movie Party Monster, it will give you a loosely based interpretation of how he became superstar DJ Keoki. And Keoki, I believe, passed away a couple of years ago. That was off his last album, which was called Jealousy.
Did he?
I believe he did.
Chris, you're not doing it all
so
at
he,
once.
But it was after the movie came out that he passed away.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Wilder Valderrama.
You're
played,
supposed to swallow the whole thing, not just a bite.
I never made that claim.
Oh. No, he didn't make that claim. This one over here made the claim. Eric made the claim. So the second song was Rihanna, Breaking Dishes. Honey, take a hint from your own lyrics. And the last two songs we listened to, the first one was called Invisible Man by... Oh, I'm sorry, it's called A Man Turned Inside Out. That was by Devo. Of all people, Devo. It was a great album. It's off their album, Total Devo.
Okay, somebody
and
get ready
the
with
song,
the Heimlich.
The last song we just listened to was Deep Dish. It's called Nicotine.
Just mush
and now Eric is going to swallow an entire banana whole
Somebody get ready with the hind leg.
We do have to say he removed the peel. He removed the peel. Now, did you get all the little strings off? There he goes. Oh. That's one hell of a curve, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, he gagged once. He gagged twice.
Oops.
He got it almost all the way down.
That one was a little bit too long.
It went soft.
A little bit too long.
It went soft. Damn. Okay, well, trim off the tip. Pretend you're a Jew and circumcise it and swallow it again.
Oi.
Okay, there you go. Okay, we've taken 20% off the top. He's eaten the foreskin. Now let's get on to eating the actual whole banana. Swallow that sucker down, baby. Oh, yeah. Ooh, he did it. All right.
Oh, now, I thought you were supposed to swallow it all the way.
No, now I want to see you do it with a cucumber. Oh, how about a summer squash? That'd be even more fun. Oh,
that's a trick for another night.
I'm sorry, what, Jimmy?
The cucumber would be for the other end.
The cucumber is for the other end. Okay,
no, that
Jimmy,
would be the summer squash.
Jimmy, now, since you're the new pen master, you need to show us how it's done with a banana. Come on, I know you can do it.
Oh, yes.
I have never done that before.
All I got to say is Jimmy's going
in public, okay? Define that, in public.
Okay. Well, I have first-hand experience. Jimmy is good at
one. And I want everybody to know, Jimmy is wearing a pink shirt, as always. Pink
Most
is his color.
Most of my sex is in public.
The shirt... The only things you've ever done in public have been photographed, but only by security cameras. Jimmy's wearing a pink sweatshirt that says Carpe Diem. They put an
R. No, it says Carper.
No, let me finish. It says Carpe Diem. Somebody took a Sharpie and put an R on the end of it, so it says Carper Diem. Ta-da. Earlier, I said they need to change it to Carper Dick, D-I-C-K, because that's what he likes to seize during the day. So... Carper Diem. It's no longer Carpe Diem.
See, I was expecting the banana to go all the way down and not come back up.
Yeah.
Now, that's the way Stephen Bunch does it.
Oh, that damn gag reflex, I swear.
Yeah. I would have preferred it to stay down, but it's like, it's kind of hard to get it with that curve on there to get it to go all the way down.
That's not what I've heard.
They come in all shapes and sizes, you know.
Well, see, you had the curve going the wrong way. That's the problem.
Well, I tried.
You did good. You got it all the way down. Hacked it up like a mama bird, but you got it all the way down.
Well, I had to do something to actually get it to go into my stomach.
Yes, this is true.
Jimmy's over here trying now.
Jimmy, let's see. Come on, we got
to
see.
I just want you all to know that my innocent eyes are sitting on the side where I can see nothing.
Jimmy, that looks so nasty when you do it. I'm sorry, I made Jimmy laugh and he just hacked up the banana. He had it almost all the way down too, damn it.
Clean up on aisle three.
His banana fell on the floor.
Oh, you got disgusting. Four more to try with.
Most would say that just makes him a bottom.
Actually, I am kind of hungry. I want a banana. Oh, good Lord, we got like two big bunches of bananas. Yeah, bring me a banana. I'm hungry.
Be a little off this banana topic for a second. For those of you out there who know me as Nicole, there's also an S&M name I go by, which is Brutanin. I am one and the same.
So that's who we're talking about.
Probably like, who is this girl? Nicole, all of a sudden.
It's Nicole.
I know, but so few know me.
And for those of you who know her by Brutanin, she is not an Osmond.
Yes, she's an Oddman. Oh, actually, she's an odd woman, because she is a real woman.
Okay, now we're all eating bananas.
Okay, everybody has bananas now. Here we go.
On the count of three.
I'm not going to be doing that. I'm just going to eat it.
I'm just going to eat it like normal.
Somebody eat my banana.
Oh, you nasty, nasty woman. Nicole's using her banana as a strap-on for those of you who can't see it.
I've got to get in on this somehow.
Oh, come on. We got to get the listeners in on these visual gags, so we have to describe them.
Nicole is using her banana as a strap-on, but she used it the wrong way with the nub on the outside edge.
Oh, no. You need I am sadistic.
No, you need that nub on the inside so you get something good out of it.
It's hay, no teeth.
Don't bruise my banana.
Hey, no teeth. Buzz, that's your cue. Damn, this beer has bite. Okay.
You nasty people.
Let's get back to the topic.
Violations.
Du jour. the topic. We've been talking about domestic violence, and we are going to now touch on the difference between domestic violence and BDSM leather play. So let's explain BDSM leather play. What's the core of BDSM leather play when you are playing a scene? The core is that it's consensual.
Safe.
It is negotiated. It is consensual. There are safety measures in place. Before the play begins.
Every scene is negotiated. Nothing that is not negotiated gets included in the scene so that everybody knows exactly where they're going.
So I dropped my banana.
Now, how far you go within that scene is also negotiated in advance by selecting a safe word or some sort of safe signal so that when ouch, that feels ouch, that hurts so good becomes ouch, that doesn't feel so good anymore.
I didn't have one of those last weekend.
Was it good for you too?
It was. But I didn't have a safe word.
Well, last weekend wasn't Louie weekend, so what was...
Well, the weekend before last.
Oh. I was gonna
He's talking about Louie weekend when, we set him on fire.
Oh, I know. But I thought he was talking about something else that has happened since Louie, and I wanted details.
That you don't need the details on.
I get confused with the weekends. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We still love you.
Thank you. I'm blonde. Just like my husband.
No, he's gray.
I think with all of the alcohol involved, Louie is sadistic, and we're all masochists at heart.
I was actually walking around with a raging all weekend.
You were walking around, oh yes, with a raging phallic symbol made out of latex, we should say.
We can't say that word.
I think I saw that. I think I did.
And she's wearing a strap on all weekend, basically.
I think I did see that.
That was me.
I think I saw that. I'm not for sure, though, but I think I did.
You weren't the only one.
Oh, no. Eva was hysterical. When she showed up at 6:11 on Saturday morning for the brunch, she just showed up in a trench coat and a strap on, a big old red strap on. That was funny.
Like, oh my God, look, it's Elizabeth and Chester.
Oh, she stole your strap on?
It was my dick. Can I say that?
Yes.
Richard. It was your dildo.
It was your Richard.
Oh, it was my Richard. It was your.
Okay, I thought this was leather ties, not strap-on city.
Hey, maybe it was made out of leather.
Hey,
well,
I know
the straps are.
Number one, I know a lot of gay men that like to use a strap-on so they can get a double with only having one partner.
I actually had it sucked a little bit by somebody in this very building.
I just taught you something new, didn't I? You can use yours plus a strap-on. Your boyfriend likes it even more.
Who do you
either
think
that, or you can just use a regular toy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to necessarily have the strap on.
Harper
True.
Because I've done that.
Jimmy.
True.
Did you say Jimmy?
Yes, I said
I thought
Jimmy.
You said me. I was like,
no. It's a lot easier to keep the rhythm if you're wearing it as a strap on.
Went down on her.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I might have to try that out.
I think I've try never it. Gone down on a woman.
I was what? Wearing a strap on.
Jimmy, you pinned a strap on? Dick. You pinned a strap on, you whore.
I was going by daddy that night. Don't any of you forget that.
How could we forget it? It was, 14 inches long? You look like John Holmes, with an infection.
It was the John Holmes one. Thank you very much.
Oh, no wonder.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why Jimmy's jaw still hurts.
In pewter color, mind you.
Yes, it was pewter.
That's where those stretch marks came from.
I'm the only one who would suck her dick.
Her Richard.
You're the only one who did it without asking. Everybody else asked. And,
and you're the only one that took it all the way to the hilt without gagging.
He was sitting down and I walked up to give him a hug. And instead of hugging, it was like...
He just dropped to his knees. Well, you know.
No, he was sitting down. He didn't even have to get on his knees. It was like... He was so happy to hug me.
Hi, nice to see you, gulp.
Oh, God. We're going to start channeling Prince here with all these bananas. Everybody sing the Prince song. Slip on a purple banana until they put us in the truck. Let's go.
I don't think I've heard that song.
What does that line mean? It makes absolutely no sense, but that is the actual lyric in the song. Let's
Prince,
go crazy.
Then the artist
slip on a purple banana until they put you in the truck.
He's now Prince again.
Again? Yes.
No, he's gone back to being friends.
I was running the gamut.
Yeah, but you know what that symbol was when he used to go by the symbol?
No.
That it's an ancient script that means little king. What is a little king, Prince? That's all it is.
The artist occasionally known as Prince.
Although he did actually modify it into the shape of his guitar handle, so it was actually a bastard Prince, but that fits too.
Sure. If we could speculate here for a moment, mind you, listeners, this is complete speculation. No facts are behind this at all.
As opposed to spectoration.
Who would say he's into BDSM?
Prince?
Yeah.
Who thinks he's a top or a bottom? I think he's a bottom.
I think he's a bottom.
Yeah.
Bottom.
I lost my virginity to darling Nikki on purpose. Thank you very much.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Masturbating to magazines in a hotel?
Meta-throbing Nikki. She had so many devices, everything that money could buy. What do you think those devices were?
Strap-ons.
Mm.
Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he always wiggles around so much on stage? He's trying to get that butt plug to stay in.
Again, this is complete speculation. We have no proven facts.
Oh, if you went to the Purple Rain tour, you know it's the truth.
I think I was like 5.
I went to the Purple Rain tour when Cyndi Lauper opened for him, okay? It was that long ago.
And Robert is telling his age with that, y'all.
Yes, I'm 43, so what?
You look good for 43.
I look better than you, and you're half my age.
Whoa.
I'm not even close to being half his.
Are we seeing a sissy fight?
Yeah.
Is this what a sissy fight looks like?
Can we get a saucer of milk in here, please?
Meow. Let's get back to the topic at hand. Domestic violence, BDSM, play, and the differences between. Enough about the Purple Rain. Or the Purple Dildo, whatever you want to call him.
Quit segueing into things that we really like to talk about.
We need to stop.
We're talking about things
that
are important, but it's hard to talk about. So we need to have these moments of
levity.
Yeah, in order to not just all break down and cry here.
Okay.
So that was a needed moment.
Okay.
And we hope all of you enjoyed that now. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing with BDSM play is that when you enter into a scene that involves any kind of punishment aspect, whether it's flogging, whipping, even something, bondage, wax play, whatever.
Paddling, strapping, whipping.
Thank you. You're entering into a scene, fire play, electro, whatever. You're entering into a scene with that is negotiated. This is as far as we go. When I get to this part, this is as far as I am willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're the dom or the sub, it needs to be laid on the table.
Everybody's limits have to be discussed in advance.
And everybody has different limits. Some people are more experienced players, some are not. Some people, I've played subs who are like, I want to go this far, and it's like, you know, that's fine. I will take you only this far, and after that you're going to have to renegotiate a scene with somebody else because I am not comfortable taking you to the point that I'm breaking your skin and you're bleeding and you've passed out. Yeah. Because to me, I don't see the fun in that. If that is your pain threshold and that's where you want to go, you're going to have to find somebody else to get you there.
Can we back up a little bit here? I also want to make a point that it's important because a lot of submissives, especially submissives who are just recognizing that they are submissive, or submissives out there who process it in their mind but don't really come out with it, when to recognize somebody who's abusive and when to recognize somebody who's dominant. There's a difference. And I think that's where BDSM, the leather scene, it's really important to know that if you're in this, if the person who you look to as master, mistress, top, whoever, isn't abusing you, And they recognize everything that's important.
And this is whether or not you're entering into just a play situation or an actual relationship. Even in the leather community, if you enter into a relationship, the entire relationship is negotiated. It's called a contract.
Mm-hmm.
All aspects of that relationship, what the responsibilities of the dom are to the sub, what the responsibilities of the sub are to the dom. This goes from day-to-day aspects, I mean, flat out, all the way down to who cleans out the cat box, who unloads the dishwasher, to if we're going to play a scene, this is as far as I can go with this scene. And everybody has their own fetishes and their own styles of play. I know people who love being flogged, but they hate being whipped. I know people who love being flogged who hate being spanked. I know people who are into fisting, who are into water sports. Some people are into wax, but they don't like electricity. Some people are into electroplay, but they don't like fire. Some people are into toys, some people aren't.
Some people are like electricity and fire at the same time.
Right.
Electricity, fire, and wax.
And you can be in that relationship with somebody who...
Just in my relationship with him, there are things I like to do that he does not.
Right, that's
there are things that he likes to do that I don't really care for. I will do them for him because I know how to do them. I'm not getting anything out of it other than enjoying watching him get something out of it.
Okay, in essence, we're losing a line here. We're losing a defining line. We're using the aspects of play and talking about relationships.
What I'm saying is when it comes to... We need to make sure
that there's a dividing line there.
I'm specifically talking about play right now.
Okay.
Because most of the play is physical. And that is what is always so misconstrued with being abused. Flogging, whips, needle play, wax, electricity. People think this is abuse, or it can be misconstrued as abuse, when it is a negotiated scene.
Also sometimes be empowering, because even if you are being the one that's being in the submissive role, you have power over what is happening to you. And there's a feeling of power because of that.
And it's very liberating.
And it makes you feel like you are the dominant one.
One of the questions that I get asked most often is, why would they let you do that to them? Please understand that every one of these types of play involve sensation. A physical sensation. Now, that can also trigger push emotional buttons as well, and that may be the aim, but basically each and every one of these aspects of play involves sensation. And what we're doing is we're starting out light with that particular sensation and building up to a point where the bottom says, okay, enough.
I'm there. That's good. I've hit the endorphin rush. I'm happy. I'm where I need to be. That was enough.
And that really is an endorphin rush, because you have to figure that the brain reacting to pain kicks out endorphins, which is a hell of a high.
And as the dominant in that situation, you have to recognize that your job to your submissive does not end there, because then we have the aftercare, which makes the whole thing worthwhile.
Now, if you are new to the scene, even if you're an experienced player, how do you know if you're negotiating a scene with somebody who knows what they're doing? How do you know if you're negotiating a scene with somebody who's an abuser? And I think that's a big question a lot of people have, and a lot of things I've gotten is, especially, well, when you're negotiating a scene, how do you know if this guy's going to play the scene or abuse me? Or being a dom, how do I know that this isn't some kind of abuse trip he's on, and he wants to take it further than what's going to happen?
There are actually authors who have written on that subject.
Right, but I think the biggest question I get asked, besides why would they let you do this to them, is how can I trust them?
That's the
and
issue.
And so, let's get some
that
like,
is
you know,
the issue.
One through tens of what to look out for, and what should be throwing up red flags, and say, no, I'm not going to play with this person.
When you try to negotiate one scene and the person who is going to be the dominant in that scene changes the negotiation constantly, doesn't listen to you, say you want to be flogged and the dominant really wants to take after you with a bullwhip and you're not into that, that's not what you want, but they keep changing to that, ignoring your concerns. Any dominant who wants to go into a play scene with you who does not ask if you have pre-existing health conditions is somebody that you do not need to play with. Because if your dominant is not aware of them, and they occur during a scene, and they haven't even bothered to ask you, then they are certainly not prepared for them.
And that means anything from being diabetic, epileptic, high blood pressure, low blood pressure,
bleeding disorders,
multiple sclerosis,
MS,
early stages, because they seize a lot.
Yeah.
Seizures. People who are epileptic.
It's like I have flogged Joe, my slave Joe, into unconsciousness twice. But it's a fantasy of his, and it was something that was negotiated. He wanted to be flogged until he was unconscious. And the aftercare there, it was both times it was in front of people. It was in front of a crowd of people. And when he went down, people thought I had killed him. which is why we joke around, like, once a year, I get to kill Joe.
Yeah, you killed Kenny. You know?
The thing is the minute he goes down, the flog goes down, and I'm on my knees right there with him. There's a cold towel.
Now, let's also,
water.
When we say go down, keep in mind that boy Joe is wearing cuffs on his arms, and he's spread out, and so when he goes down, it basically
he
his body goes
limp,
but he is hanging. He doesn't drop to the ground and, you know, hit his head or concussion or anything.
Except for that first time.
Yeah. That first time when the cuffs broke. And he swung around and hit his head right into a tree.
Yeah, he hit a tree.
I remember you telling that story.
I beat him right into the tree.
Did you just about collapse in fear?
No, absolutely not. And if you know of somebody who has done that, if something goes wrong in a scene and the first thing they do is panic and go, oh my God, what have I done? Wrong person to play with.
Yeah.
I don't panic until it's all over with.
I think that's the motherly side of me. I would have gone, and then rushed in.
But again,
first concern was for him.
The scene was negotiated to go that far.
Oh, but, I recognize
that. And but, like I say, when something like that happens, my first concern is not for how I feel. It's for making sure that this person is okay.
And the smart thing there was you didn't do a scene like that out of public. So there were other
people. There were spotters, other people that could help if the need arose.
That's now, a really, really, good, really dangerous way to play when you don't have others involved in your scene. Because you may not necessarily know. Because there are moments of euphoria where people will go limp.
But there are moments when something like that. But when something like that happens, there are DOMs who forget all their training and they freak.
Exactly.
And, right. I mean, it does happen. And to have somebody else there, it is just a good thing to have somebody else there that if you freak. Because, like you said, it could bring up emotional issues or something mm-hmm. while you're flogging the sub. Well, the DOM could be having some emotional issues as well. This could be bringing something up from the DOM's point of view and the DOM's own history that...
They weren't ready, or they didn't know was going to come up.
Right.
I had a sub hanging in my sling once who actually freaked out. I mean, really emotionally had a total breakdown, just totally freaked out in the sling. And the best thing that I could do was to undo all of the clips, reach down and cradle him, pull him out of the sling, and sit him down in a chair and talk to him. In a low tone, slow voice, say, okay, come back. You know, you have to bring them back to the here and now.
And he can really sound like a golf announcer when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got that voice that's hypnotic. But one thing I want to bring up, you just mentioned earlier, if you're negotiating a scene and the DOM keeps changing the rules on you during the negotiation, that right there is also a cue that to get into a personal relationship with this person, they're going to keep changing the rules on you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's how they're going to act, just negotiating a simple scene like flogging, that's probably how they're going to negotiate any kind of relationship with you that's anything that you would consider, you know, as a partnership or a long-term relationship. So that, to me, is a red flag.
I have to consider whether it be play or in a relationship. If I'm negotiating with a submissive to be my submissive, whether it be for that scene or for an extended period of time, if my concern is not for their well-being more than my own, then I'm not being responsible. Because that has to be the attitude on both sides. It's, okay, this is what I want, and I want to do this, but I want it to be something that's going to benefit them.
Right.
And I want to be responsible for how they feel and what they're going to get out of this. If I'm concerned only for what I'm going to get out of it, then that human being simply becomes a piece of meat hanging from a hook that I get to beat on until I'm through.
And that's a red flag right there, but I also
that's
know
when it turns into abuse.
But that scenario doesn't just happen with a DOM. I've seen and I know subs who are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the subs will emotionally play their DOM and verbally play their DOM until their DOM is batshit crazy. Excuse my French. But, so it can go both ways. I mean, I've seen subs that have abused DOMs in a situation and in a negotiation. Mm-hmm. So don't think that just because you're a sub means you're the only one that can be victimized.
That's why I said subs can have power in the situation they're in.
Well, subs
and it
should
is in,
always.
It can be in
what
power.
People need to keep in mind.
Well, there are subs who play head games.
Yeah, there
I
are.
I understand that.
Unnegotiated
what
head
you
games.
Need to keep in mind for anybody who's newbie or inexperienced in the leather BDSM fetish worlds and subcultures that we live in, that a DS, a dom-sub relationship, is 50-50. It is an equal relationship. It's
I
an
think
equal
it's 100-100.
Partnership.
I think everybody's giving 100%.
Well, yes, but right. That's the thing. You can't expect a dom to take care of your every whim, just as a dom can't expect you to wait on him hand and foot.
No. They can expect 50-50. One another to do what we have negotiated.
Yes. And you need to do that from a place of understanding and well-being for that other person, not in what can I get out of you.
When you take care of yourself, it's a lot easier to take care of somebody else in these relationships. So when you sit back and you recognize everything that's important to you as a dominant or as a submissive. Actually, you know what? Let me back up a little bit here. Eva had said to me, at Louis, actually it wasn't directed at me, it was directed to another one of our lovely wits ladies out there, who's new. She was a Louis virgin just like myself.
And you were wearing panties.
You want to know what? I wore panties the whole time. I got no guff from anybody. The whole Louis virgin thing was sans this year.
No,
I got away with it.
You got away with it only because you were a woman and you're a member of WIPS, and most men are afraid of Elizabeth and Eva. Most of the gay men are like, you know, if we do that and then we get to a WIPS play party or in a WIPS event, Elizabeth is, Eva's going to, like, tie us up and Eva's going to, like, stick needles in us or something.
Elizabeth?
I mean, Elizabeth.
You mean Elizabeth?
Yeah, Elizabeth's going to turn me into, like, a voodoo doll or something.
Yeah.
So, no, we're going to leave the WIPS alone. WIPS can do whatever they want. You know?
She probably would. She's awesome.
I have to say that I've known Elizabeth and Eva for a number of years now, and I have to say that I'm not really afraid of them, but I wouldn't want to make them angry.
No, I have nothing but respect for them.
I trust them. That's why they got to do what they did.
I've known Elizabeth and Eva for more than 10 years.
Okay, Master Buzz here, and I'm going to admit to this, while at an ACE in San Antonio.
I was there. I'm witness to this.
I actually allowed Elizabeth to do fire play on me.
She set Master Buzz on fire.
And then to flog me with a dragon tail.
After she set him on fire.
See, this is cool. Somebody
I trust her.
Is an elder in the scene who us coming into the scene may not be new to BDSM, but new to the scene are very fortunate to be around. Because I would say
she's a very both
Eva,
and
Elizabeth, and Gigi
very given.
Have been
very
three
giving
wonderful
people
to me in just a very short time. I've become very close to all of them. But I wanted to back up to what Eva had said. She said to this friend.
Hold on just a second. Let's take a station identification, then you can tell us what was going on there.
Here we go.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. 90.1 and 89.5 in Galveston, and as always on kpft.org on the World Wide Web.
Nicole, you were saying?
She said,
thank you, Banana Man. That was great. From now on, I'm calling you Banana Man.
Yeah. Whatever.
Come with the deli man, deli me banana.
Back to the story.
Swallow me banana.
Back to the story.
Eva said, think of everything in BDSM that's important to you. And when you're looking for somebody, I'm not very good at this verbatim thing. She said, think of everything in BDSM that's important to you. And just always remember there's somebody out there who's looking for what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to settle for anything in between. So that's something good to keep in mind. While you may play with others, while you may do things with others, that person who has the same fetishes that you do, who has the same lifestyle desires that you do, is out there and they're waiting to meet you. don't settle, because that's when situations like abuse can happen.
Well, I think another thing to also keep in mind, this community is, especially the leather BDSM community, it's very close-knit. Everybody knows everybody. And if you are new to the scene or you are unsure, whether you're a dom or a sub, ask questions. Talk to people. I mean, say, what do you know about this person? Is this a good person? Is this somebody I want to know?
Most generally speaking, if they don't know the answer to your question, they know somebody who does.
Yeah, they'll say, I don't know, but, you know, I know that this person is friends with so-and-so, or this person has more knowledge of... Well, I'll use Elizabeth as an example. Somebody, dom or sub, okay, tell me about her, and because she says she can do this, and can I trust that, or am I going to be abused, or... Okay, well, if you don't know, ask questions. Ask people. Find out.
And believe me, there are people...
And that goes for just going into the damn bar and saying, ooh, that dude is hot, I wonder. Ask.
Yeah. There are people in our community that if you ask us about them, we're not going to blow smoke. We're going to tell you exactly what we know. There are people in our community that I would advise nobody play with.
Oh, yeah.
There are people whose faces we have posted on the internet saying, do not play with this person. This person is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of our responsibility.
As a community.
Yes, because if one of us gets hurt, all of us get hurt.
Right.
I mean, it diminishes us as a whole. And I mean, the whole point about leather is respect and respecting each other and position and taking care of each other. I mean, to me, abuse is not part of that.
No, it's not.
I mean, again, the difference between domestic violence and BDSM...
is vastly different.
Is consensual. There's consent there. Right. And some people will argue, well, with domestic violence, there's unconscious consent because you're still there. You're asking for it in a way. No, you're not. You're probably still there because you're too scared to leave. And you, or you don't have nowhere to go, or you have nobody to help you.
You just don't know any better yet.
Yeah, you don't negotiate a domestic violence. Say, okay, well, I'm going to punch you in the face 5 times, and you're going to hit me with your shoe, and then I'm going to throw your cell phone at you, but if you duck, we'll miss cell phone, but then I could throw another cell phone at you. But then after I throw a cell phone at you, you can, like, throw 5 pillows and 2 plates at me. I mean, you don't negotiate domestic violence, you know. And then once I break your nose, we'll call it a scene. Okay, no.
You know, I have to... This also reminds me. I may be born and raised in Salt Lake, but I actually moved here after 10 years of living in Denver. I had a really good friend there who actually ended up getting arrested for domestic violence because him and his wife were... divorcing, and she decided she wanted to be vindictive. They were a BDSM relationship, and she made all these allegations that the things that went on between them were non-consensual. Now, all that it really ended up doing for her was black marking her in the community.
Yeah.
As somebody who can't be trusted.
A vindictive bitch.
Right.
We know some of those.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, you know, that I've seen situations like that occur. And it's, you really have to have a lot of trust for the person that you're with. Because you don't just have BDSM between the two of you. We live in a vanilla society. Vanilla plays a big part in this. You have to trust that if your relationship doesn't work, this person isn't going to turn against you. There's always got to be a really strong connection there to ensure.
Honestly, that's something you can never predict. But in the world in which we live, in the subculture of leather, BDSM, this fetish world that we live in, you do have to be much more aware of it.
Right.
And, yeah, when it comes down to it, something like that happens. But after all the crap she pulled... Who got the black marks? Who got blacklisted? She did.
Right.
He was the one who got thrown in
jail. He got arrested, okay, and all his entire dungeon was confiscated.
Yeah. As evidence.
As evidence that was never released back to him. He lost a lot. And it was merely for the fact because she didn't want somebody else playing with him in that way. It was a very, very vindictive situation. So, ultimately, she ended up becoming the abuser, if you think about it. She...
But, I mean, the scenes that they played were consensual. That was an abuse. Right. What she did when the relationship ended, that was abuse.
Right.
I think she should be held accountable.
I can say that a great percentage of what happened in that was probably that their entire relationship
was just based on sex.
They had nothing else.
They had children together.
Were probably born out of play.
Yeah.
Right.
But
probably.
Their entire relationship was based on and built on play. They didn't have anything else. So when they separated, she didn't want him to give anybody else anything that was hers.
Okay, but to take it to... She took it to the extreme, but the community we live in, the cultures we live in, take everything to the extreme. How is that a relationship based on play, BDSM, fetish play, any different than hundreds of thousands of couples getting married every year because they have really great sex, and after 2 years they realize they have absolutely nothing in common except sex, but now they got kids.
And then they end up together for 10 more years after that.
Yeah, there's no difference. It's just in the subcultures we live in, it's just a more extreme interpretation.
Either they remain together, if not physically, emotionally abusing either one another or themselves.
And the kids along with it.
Because they regret the decision to get together to begin with.
But the problem is our society doesn't see the BDSM as being something that
consensual.
Can be consensual.
And something that can be very liberating and give you
they
a lot of growth.
They look at it as being sick.
And being abuse.
Just like being gay is sick. So we still have a society that's very closed-minded and doesn't understand those things.
Well, if you're a Republican, you can't have sex other than in the missionary position.
I'm not going anywhere.
No.
what are you pointing at your tatas for? What was that?
Oh, no, that
I was
going to
say, that ought to light up the
big
phone lines.
I was pointing at myself.
Oh. Are you a Republican?
No, I'm not a Republican.
Are you
I'm
a missionary?
From Utah.
Oh.
If she needs somebody to touch them, I can.
Oh.
We have a volunteer.
I don't know. Whose boobs are bigger, Nicole's or Virgin's?
Oh, no.
No, I said Nicole or Virgin. Whose boobs are bigger?
Chris is not in the running here.
No.
Well, Nicole's, I think, are bigger than mine, though.
It's pretty close.
Yours are hairier.
Okay, I'll say Nicole's are bigger, but yours are hairier.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to know
Nicole's
what?
Are bigger,
I don't care what any of you say underneath all these clothes. Mine are prettier.
I'll bet they probably are.
I have seen them. I know they are.
Oh, you have? How about you?
Okay, Chris has got banana squish between his boobs right now.
Okay. Look, I have a butt on my chest.
Oh.
Okay.
It's cleavage.
I think on that cue, we're going to have some music, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to close Leather Ties, and we're just have a nice round table and be really obnoxious with all the latest gossip and news in Hollywood and the world in which
we
live.
Why don't we take some phone calls?
No.
Yeah.
Obnoxious.
Yes, I think especially for what we've discussed, it's important to take some phone calls on this.
Let's allow people to ask questions. Let's ask our producer in there.
Let's see it. 3:10 in the morning. Are we going to get a phone call? I'll tell you what. We're going to play some music, and if we get a phone call, we'll take it. If you
want
to call us, it's 713-526-5738. Call Eric or Chris will answer the phone, screen you, and then we may put you
on
the air.
Who's Eric?
Huh?
Who's Eric?
Oh, I'm sorry. Banana Man.
That'd be Wes.
Wes. Yeah. Banana Man. I'm going to start calling you the
Look,
banana.
If you're going to give me a nickname, you got to know my real name first.
Wes. Craven. Okay.
Craven Banana.
Yeah, Craven Banana.
Why did I keep calling? I don't know why I'm calling. I know why I'm calling you, Eric. I'll tell you off the air.
Anyway, the song.
Wes, play it.
I'll stroll them all down library halls, searching for a woman that has it all. They say good things come to those who wait, but if I wait too long, I just might be too late.
Welcome back, Leather Ties, After Hours, KPFT 90.1. I'm Daddy Burr Robert. We're here with Master Buzz Lawson, my co-host, Nicole Oddman, not Osmond, Baby Bear Clayton, and Virgins in the House as well.
Nicole should be introduced first.
Oh, Nicole.
Why?
And Wes, our
Man. I did introduce her first.
No, you introduced Buzz first.
I am the host. He is my co-host. Our guest tonight is Nicole Oddman. And you.
You should be... I'm not a guest.
Well, okay. You're a staple.
No, we should...
Okay, the last couple of
songs...
Or
does he like to be stapled?
No, well, I don't know. He's
not,
no.
He's actually been sutured recently, but not stapled.
Oh, okay. Just had to check on that.
It's common out here. I don't see as much stapling in the Houston scene as I do in the Denver scene.
Let's not go into my sutures, okay?
No, we're not going to go into your sutures. So we heard Funkstar Deluxe with his remix of Grace Jones' Pull Up to the Bumper, and then that last song was Bolingo from LaBouche. I say LaBouche. You won't hear anything ever out of LaBouche again because Melanie Thornton, the lead singer, died in a plane crash. So, but she did release one solo album called Melanie Thornton Fly, Ready to Fly. So if you like LaBouche with, you know, Sweet Dreams and all that stuff, get her solo album. It's really good. So we're done with Leather Ties. I want to bring up one more thing.
Hold on 1 second.
What?
A person who put out an album, Ready to Fly, died in a plane crash.
Yes, I know. I think, yeah. And the funny thing was, she was flying to Switzerland to promote the album and do a concert promoting her new album when her plane went down and she died. She died like a week after Aaliyah died. I mean, we had the two plane crashes, boom, boom, just like that.
So I'm sorry, that's almost as ironic as John Denver singing Leaving on a Jet Plane and ending up in the Pacific.
Well, the problem was it wasn't a jet plane. It was one of those glider things with no engine with John Denver.
How's that for a Rocky Mountain High?
I changed the song to Deep Pacific Water.
That's it. So if you do like LaBouche, keep in mind, you'll never hear anything new out of them. You've got their two albums, the remix album, and then... Melanie Thornton, her solo album, Ready to Fly. Again, just a quickie, the DM training class presented by NLA Houston and HPEP. The DM training class is going to be done by Master Bear and Casey. It is March 28th and 29th, a Saturday and Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. If you want to get to the DM training class, contact Master Bear. I will spell out his email address, weisse@aol.com. He can get you the information on the location and everything once you're registered for the DM class.
You can probably find him through the HPEP website.
You can go to HPEP as well. Go to the NLA website as well, nlahouston.org. Or
it's HPEP.org.
HPEP.org. And the DM training class is also listed on both of those websites as well, so you can click on the link for the DM training class and get a hold of him that way. So, on to Roundtable. I'm sick of talking about Rihanna. I think the weirdest thing I saw on CNN today, I think it was in Omaha, some guy has been arrested again. This is the second time he's been arrested for knowingly spreading HIV.
Knowingly?
Knowingly spreading HIV. He's been arrested for the second time now. for doing this.
She
did. And it's like, okay, what trip is this
Wes,
guy on?
Do you know where that's coming from?
What's it?
I'm getting a crackling noise.
Yeah, that was Chris moving his mic. I turned it off
I'm trying to do it.
Oh, okay.
Chris is a bit too busy surfing for porn right now, so.
No, actually, we were getting ready for a roundtable.
Oh. But I think it's in Omaha. I saw, and the weird thing, this is what I hate about the news channels. You get the same five stupid stories over and over and over again, but you get the little ticker at the bottom, and it's like, okay, well, tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this was on that little ticker down there, and I think it was in Omaha. It was Omaha or Utah, I don't remember.
We're looking at
Utah.
But this guy's been arrested again for knowingly spreading HIV and infecting people, and it's like, how... I don't understand the mindset on that one. I mean,
how did he get arrested the second time? Wasn't he jailed after the first time?
Well, apparently he served his time and got out, or he got out on parole or something, or for good behavior. Obviously didn't happen, but...
Yeah, good behavior for that was not screwing any of the fellow prisoners.
Yeah, really. Well, no, because
maybe
most...
that's what he was arrested for.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Most jails and most prisons have an AIDS ward, that anybody who's HIV gets sent to that ward. I know Houston does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the jail downtown, they have an HIV ward where anybody who's HIV, they put
cell
them
block.
There.
If they the, say it, though. In the prisons, I'm sure that they test. But in the jails, when you come into the jail, they figure the most you're going to spend there is a couple of days.
Well, no, some people, like, if you get picked up for, like, a DUI or something, or convicted of DUI, and you go to 60 days, 90 days, or whatever, you go to county jail. You go to county lockup. You don't go to a prison.
Right. But so. There's county, and then there's... I don't know why I know so much about this. No, I'm kidding. There's county, and then there's jail. County is different. County is...
We found the story.
Okay, what is it?
Idaho.
I knew it was one of those.
No, you're not.
It's Utah's little sister.
Yeah, that's why I said Utah. It's closer.
Yeah. The first person ever convicted in Idaho of knowingly spreading the HIV virus is now facing new charges for the same offense. In Ada County, Idaho, say that 10 times fast. Grand jury on Tuesday returned an indictment charging Kerry Thomas, 45, with 7 counts of knowingly transferring the HIV virus. In 1990, okay. Thomas was charged with 4 counts of HIV transmission and 2 counts of statutory rape. As part of a plea agreement, he pled guilty only to the rape charges. He received a 12-year sentence and had to serve 3 years before being eligible for parole.
Parole.
And was granted early release. In 1996, however, he was charged with 1 count of HIV transmission, and a jury convicted him. He received a 15-year sentence with a 7-year minimum. Now out on parole, Thomas faces possible life in prison on the new charges because prosecutors are seeking his designation as a persistent violator. It was not immediately known whether Thomas was in custody. He was not listed online among the inmates in Ida County Jail. He asked why Thomas would continue to spread the virus, which causes AIDS. Fisher, who is the Ada County Deputy Prosecutor, said that's the $64,000 question for a person who's been to prison twice.
I mean, I just don't.
Why are these people not being?
No.
Why are these people
clearly
not being tried for at least attempted murder?
You know what the sad thing is here? Clearly, he has no regard because he feels like he's gonna die from it. Or maybe what we don't know here is maybe he purposely got infected in order to do this. He's a serial
revenge
murderer.
Somebody did this to him, so he figured he's going to take other people with him. I don't know.
If you're out there, feel free to call in and then let us know what your crazy antics.
What's that, Jimmy?
The last conference on AIDS, international conference on AIDS, mm-hmm. The Swiss did a study and put out a paper stating that if a person has been undetectable for 2 years and has had a T-cell count over 200 for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
they are unable to transmit the disease.
Prove it to me.
No, that is not right. It has to do with what drugs they are on. If they're resistant, somebody can be resistant to another drug, and the person that is infecting them
but what could be on different drugs.
But what they're saying, is that if your T-cell count is above 200 for more than 2 years, you're not a carrier.
You can't pass it on. You don't have enough to pass it on. So much so that this week in Switzerland, in Geneva, in the first ruling of its kind in the world, a court in Geneva, Switzerland, has squashed the 18-month prison sentence of a young HIV-positive man previously convicted of HIV exposure after accepting that the risk of sexual HIV transmission on successful treatment is close to zero. So
I still wouldn't trust it at this point.
No one else is trusting it either, but it's just something to think about how this kind of information is going to affect the laws in countries around the world.
Well, this will be the last country that will please. I mean, there are, what, 20 countries that have gay marriages, and America will be the last one.
It doesn't take away the risk.
I don't think the last one. Uganda will be the...
No, I'm talking about major nations.
Oh, yeah. Please. There are quite a few major nations that actually have allowed gay marriages.
I'm not talking about Uganda.
No, Uganda, that's a third world country.
Like Canada.
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 Hey, give us a few more years in this economic situation. We'll be a third world country.
Yeah, well, that's true.
We're close. No, it's just,
I was reading that and I thought, wow, this is going to screw everything up.
Yeah, I think it will too, because then all of a sudden, how many people
will all of a sudden say they're positive?
Well, yeah.
How many people are just going to go out and have indiscriminate sex because they believe that they can't transmit this disease?
Okay, here's a good one. How about Magic Johnson saying that now that he has been cured?
Yeah. Because he can't transmit it, so he's cured?
No, he's saying now that he has been cured.
Oh, God, he's full of it.
Yeah. He may be undetectable, but that does not mean you're cured.
Yeah, it's...
I bet you if he stops his drugs, all of a sudden his viral load will go up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I've been undetectable for 2 years. That doesn't mean I'm about to stop.
Wait, no, but see, that's what I think.
I've been undetectable for 12 years.
But this is what's misleading about this. They think, okay, if that's the case, then I can stop taking the drugs. I don't have to take the drugs anymore because I don't have it anymore.
See?
And it's like, no.
It's not that you don't have it. It's that you cannot transmit it. So the study
says.
That's only one study. I wouldn't trust one study.
Everybody else is just rushing.
Okay,
let me
ask you. When you're undetectable but you still have HIV, do you still come up positive on HIV?
Yes, you do. Yes.
Okay,
you have the antibody.
Then you're not undetectable.
If you still come up positive for having the HIV virus,
then you have HIV.
The test does not count, it counts the antibodies.
Right.
Right.
Well, the problem is, I know a lot of people who are HIV who are "quote unquote" undetectable,
mm-hmm.
and they think because they're undetectable, they can go out and have indiscriminate, unprotected sex.
No.
And it's like no. And if you're dumb enough to fall for that,
yes, but what is?
Tell us what your favorite flower is
going to do. How is that going to affect
white lily?
Huh? Yeah, how is this going to affect people? And
yeah,
all the more reason.
All the more reason
to assume that every person you have sex with is HIV positive, period. Because when people tell you they are positive, it's probably the truth. When they say they're negative, what does that mean? That means...
They might be lying. Use a condom anyway.
I heard a guy just last week say, I'm HIV negative and I have the paper to prove it. Prove what? That he was negative on the day they drew blood for the test?
Yeah.
What about the previous 6 months where you may have the virus and it doesn't show up in the testing? And where the hell has his dick been since the time the blood was drawn and you meet him?
Sounds like a scene out of the movie Jeffrey. Here's my test results from six months ago, 3 months ago, 2 weeks ago, one week ago, yesterday.
Take it
morning.
From an old slut. Mm-hmm. You never know where somebody's dick has been.
And know that when Richard has been.
I don't care who they are.
And know that when you have sex with someone, you are having sex with everyone that they have had sex with.
Right. Right. Right.
I work in research, and I'm sorry, one research study doesn't prove it.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
And that's why...
And I'm not advocating this.
That's why when they do drug trials, There are multiple trials before any drug ever gets approved.
Yes.
So this one little...
And then there's still problems with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's always a risk factor to any drug.
Right.
A drug is something that is not supposed to be in your body. You can't say that there is 100% safety with any single drug that
not
is out
even
on the
aspirin.
Market.
Nothing.
Well, certainly not with aspirin. I'm allergic to aspirin.
See?
The FDA will approve all kinds of drugs that cause chronic bronchitis, seizures, and even death. But the one drug that they absolutely refuse to approve has no such side effects. Why have we not legalized marijuana?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, but they
it
have
doesn't
in
cause
Colorado.
Death.
It's you want to know what is the best thing ever?
I
am a non-drug user. I don't smoke pot, but I am an advocate of medicinal marijuana and the freedom of choice.
Right.
So in Denver, every time for the 10 years that I lived there, that marijuana came up on the ballot for medicinal use, for legalizing it, period, it has passed. It is now legal. Obviously, federal trumps states.
Right.
But it is now legal to carry an amount that is less than... Okay, I don't know exactly out there. I guess we could probably look it up. But it's now... I don't know how
that's
much, though.
Ounce.
But as long
for your
as,
personal use.
For personal use, as long as you have just that amount on you, it is to the discretion of the officer to arrest you or not. They can confiscate it or not.
But
it is
if
now
they have a prescription for it,
they just confiscate it and don't arrest you.
It is, and medicinal is
bunch
definitely
bunch of stone
legal
cops in that state, right?
Oh, I want to follow the cops home. That's where all the parties are.
No, see, this that the smell that stuff makes me sick.
But I mean, if you have arthritis, great. We have an FDA-approved medication that, oh, by the way, may kill you. But if you have glaucoma, no, you cannot smoke pot.
If you have arthritis,
let's
we have
give
something
you a
to fix.
Painful eye surgery.
Well, we've got something to fix. We've got something to help you with your arthritis, but it may destroy your liver, your kidneys, and cause explosive bowel movements. But yeah, at least your fingers won't cramp while you're jacking off.
Okay, I didn't mean to take this off on a tangent.
Yes, you did.
Chris probably has another.
But then we take drugs off the market that do work well. Just because they do have side effects when those side effects were already documented.
Right.
And the people sit there and sue the drug companies for these.
Well, the worst side effect to marijuana is weight gain because you can't stop eating.
That's why it has medicinal uses.
Actually, in men, it does cause fatty tissue buildup and give them man boobs. Is that a bad thing?
No. It's because you get the munchies and you can't quit eating. You eat things that you would not normally eat.
It's
so that's
different.
A side effect.
Well,
I have to agree with Buzz on that one.
It's different, though. It is. No, even
no,
if they
look
don't.
Look at Virgin. Come on.
You eat fatty foods.
He's got a baby bump and
does
everything.
Anybody out there want to get me some
people
coffee?
People men boobs, and is that a bad thing? Well, take a look at this.
Bring me a latte.
Okay, while we are
on this drug and medical thing going on, I want to say kudos to Obama for the stem cell research thing.
Oh, yes.
Thank you
It's about damn time. It's about damn time that we got stem cell research legalized in this country.
It's ridiculous
well, it like
that
we
were so far. Well, it wasn't
we're
that it was illegal. It was the...
Embryonic stem cell.
And there were no government grants for it.
Right.
It was researched
while the
in private
rest,
practice.
While the rest of the world and all of Europe...
And all
studying
of our stem cell research doctors went overseas...
Yeah. Because they can do their
come
research
back
there.
Now.
But Nancy Reagan's happy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because now she can get some Alzheimer's happiness.
It's a little late.
It's a little late, but
well,
you, know, you never know where
it was too late by the time
action.
They realized
what does,
the
what does it matter? They're not going to remember anyway.
Right.
But she's
you
still happy.
What? Do you not drive by that says more than 50 million baby boomers will have Alzheimer's? I think that's what the billboard says.
Oops.
Do we have a call?
Okay.
No, Chris not anymore.
Has, got some information about a cure for lesbianism.
Ooh. Okay, Chris.
Wait, but lesbians are the ones that switch all the time, right? Don't we need a cure for gay men?
Okay, you can leave now. You're in a room full of gay men.
I know. You should have just seen the stare I got. It was like blank and
yeah,
silent.
This is coming from
it.
A woman who was licking her phone during the last song. Like,
Nicole, it's been really nice.
We should never have a cure for anything like that. Come on, you guys. What's wrong with this
cure
society?
What?
Be, again, from Utah, there is a little secret society that the church has to cure...
Oh, no, that's not secret. That's all over the place.
Not anymore.
Nationwide.
Do you know what they use? The tactics that they use are actually...
Marijuana?
No. Shock therapy.
Shock therapy.
Shock therapy.
Yeah.
Shock therapy.
Sorry, we're into electroplay. Let's
I
go, baby.
I know. I'm thinking...
Ooh, shock the monkey.
Boo.
And if you actually think about my
you
comments,
can leave with
it was
Nicole.
Actually more degrading to lesbians because there was, does anybody out there read, do you read, any of you read?
Yes, we
I
all
read. All the time.
And I read past the fifth grade level, promise.
I don't read.
I'm a published author, of course I read.
There was, okay, well anyways, in Houston Press there was an article about lesbians, how at you know, sexual maturity, they're straight, and then at 25, they're lesbians, and then 10 years later, they're bi, and then 10 years later, they're straight again, and women change with the wind. But once a man comes out as gay, they stay gay. And that's it.
Actually, so this cure is a little bit more controversial.
Okay.
Than electro? What?
This is way more controversial. This is coming out of South Africa.
Oh, that explains it from the get-go.
What okay. comes out of South Africa?
This is the story coming
the
off
cure
of
for homosexuality and lesbianism.
This is coming off the Daily Mail here in the UK. Headline reads, South African men are raping women to cure them of being lesbians.
Oh, great.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
This is the same country that actually removes the clitoris on little girls so they won't be sexually promiscuous?
No, I don't think that's South Africa.
No, that's further in. Lesbians living in South Africa are being raped by men who believe it will, quote-unquote, cure them of their sexual orientation, a report is revealed.
Okay, but that's nothing new. I saw that on the news months ago.
Women are reporting a rising tide of brutal homophobic attacks and murders and the widespread use of quote-unquote corrective rape as a form of punishment. The report commissioned by international NGO ActionAid called for South Africa's criminal justice system to recognize the rapes as hate crimes as police are reportedly failing to take action
the police are
over the spiraling violence.
I think that supersedes just a hate crime there. I think that's...
That's why there's all those straight men in jail.
Well, see, I think that's just beyond heinous because they can claim any woman they want to screw. Oh, she's a lesbian. That's why I raped her. That's
goes on
just
to,
wrong.
The article goes on to say that the extent of the brutality became clear when Yudi Simelane, former star of South Africa's national female football squad, became one of the victims last April. Simelane, one of the first women to live openly as a lesbian and equally. And an equal rights campaigner, was gang raped and beaten before being stabbed to death 25 times in the face, chest, and legs. Triangle, a gay rights organization, said it deals with up to 10 new cases of corrective rape every week.
What a world we live in.
Again, it's no worse than them doing that to the little girls. What I forget what country that was. What's the country Amman is from?
It's more the interior countries of Africa.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's no worse than what they do here to gay people. I mean, anybody who says they're reformed homosexual and now they're straight, forget it.
No.
Don't worry about that. I'll fix it. And I just think it's psychotic. That's like...
Somalia.
I think, no, what we need to do is, a gay community, we need to start taking the straight people and like they do with the gays, and they throw God at them and say, okay, we can make you straight. Well, we're going to say we're going to make you gay.
I don't want to.
Well, the cute
my
ones
My experience with those people is they are not the kind of people I would want to hang around. So, no, I don't want them to be gay. I don't want them hanging out in my bars. I don't want to run into them while I'm not having a drink. You know?
You really wouldn't want to flog Rush Limbaugh?
Well, now there's a difference.
Well, now going back to the abuse thing.
Yeah, see, I would not be able to draw that line.
Right.
I couldn't be consensual on that.
I would want the target to be his face. Because the rest of his body, nothing is coming out of that. At least not that I'm aware of or want to be aware of. What's coming out of him is coming out of his face. So that's the part that I would want to whip.
Stuff something in it might help, too.
Yeah, ball God, gag.
No.
A ball gag.
Oh, no, a ball equity. Gag.
That's what I was...
I was going to say, I do not invest equity in condemned property.
Oh, God. I knew you were going to get that line in somewhere. I say a ball gag. Well, take the John Holmes you were wearing, hook it up to a ball gag, and make him wear that.
And put some electricity on it.
Yeah. Oh, and who's that stupid blonde chick in California, Ann Coulter? She just needs to go the hell away. And Nancy Grace, too. She's an absolute idiot.
Oh, she is.
They make my teeth itch, and that's really an accomplishment because my teeth are plastic.
Okay, can you imagine what would happen if, like, Nancy Grace and Rush Limbaugh had a kid?
Damn.
Would that be like the Antichrist or what?
No, that pretty close.
To some, it would be the saint himself.
That would be Ann Coulter. There you go. No, I think they're all closet cases anyway.
I think they all need. I think those three need to be sterilized.
That's how I feel about most haters. Here's my favorite. They're hiding.
My favorite phrase is, "He who screams the loudest has the most to hide."
Exactly.
Okay, here's the interesting thing about all three of them, as mouthy and as obnoxious as they are. I wonder if they scratch their heads and wonder why they're still single.
I don't know that they are.
Yes, Ann Coulter is single.
Well, yeah, we know that.
Nancy Grace is single.
Ann Coulter is about as single as Ellen DeGeneres. It's just nobody knows it yet. And she'll have the lesbian episode, you know, one of these days, I'm sure.
I can't imagine any self-respecting person wanting to be seen
and
with
I mean,
them,
come on,
much less married.
Okay, next time you watch, look at Rush Limbaugh closely, and then look at Nancy Grace and tell me that's not Rush with a wig on.
Ooh.
I swear Nancy Grace is like Rush Limbaugh with in drag. Because they're the same damn person.
Well, I think one is just parroting the other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they can be those.
So really, why were you looking your phone earlier? That was kinky nasty.
Actually, it wasn't. It was just showing my affection for it since last time you called it and I pooed and you went on a big tangent about how you... Your disdain for iPod.
Yes.
So I was letting you know that I love it. I was kissing and licking it.
I thought you just had a picture of your sub on there. That new picture you showed us, and I thought, okay, that's what she's licking on. But
no, but I have Iman up now. I'll do that one.
Oh, Iman, she's gorgeous.
Oh yeah.
Isn't she married to David Bowie?
Yeah.
Oh God.
How do you even have to ask that? Wouldn't that be the best couple to top right there?
Thank you.
Oh.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty. I always say if I ever had to be forced to do a woman, it'd have to be like Grace Jones, because she's so butch, she could pass for a man. I love Grace Jones.
Oh, come
what
on.
About Angelica Houston?
Because every time I look at her, all I see is Morticia Adams.
Awesome. Yeah, me too.
I mean, I love her. She's a fantastic actress. But every time I see her, she'll get that look on her eye that's so Morticia. And it's like, I can't, no.
Nicole Kidman.
Now, for me, there was only one Morticia Adams, and that was Carolyn Jones.
Yeah, but Carolyn Jones absolutely hated the role. She said, the one thing that I despise most is the only character I'm going to be remembered for playing. So.
Oh, no, I just saw a movie with her the other day. But that's what I remember her for, and she will always be the Morticia Adams that I remember.
Imam is so pretty. That's a good picture.
But if you want to go for butch women, there is none butcher than Bea Arthur.
I remember some of the roasts that I saw. She got... Oh
yeah, the Pam Anderson roast where she was reading from the book. That was nasty. No, I would have to say, well, Bea Arthur, I don't know, that's a toss-up. Either Bea Arthur...
105 now?
What about Wendy O. Williams? I mean, whatever happened to Wendy O.?
I think isn't she dead now, or...?
I don't know. She's probably doing Christian rock, that's where they all end up.
Well, wasn't Jean Harlow kind of butch?
Jean Harlow, yeah.
I,
I'm still convinced Mae West was a man in a dress.
No, I still say that Mae West was a drag queen.
Yes.
I say if they dug up Mae West's body and did a study on her bones, they find out she was really a man. I still say Mae West was a guy. I really do. And I mean, despite all the low-cut dresses and all that stuff, they had the technology even back then to put tatas on the guys. So, okay, Mae West could have been a man. I swear it was.
It didn't have to be real tatas. All it had to do is take some duct tape.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, all they really
had to do... Well, she was a really big girl. And I mean, look what they did for Divine. All they had to do was tape them together, and she looked like she had boobs.
Wait a minute, that gives a whole new meaning.
Mae West was pretty...
busty.
That gives a whole new meaning to that line from that movie.
Yeah, but you know, one thing that isn't new in Hollywood is synthetic makeup. And so, and it was much easier to hide it back then because of the graininess of the image.
Isn't that something of a redundancy? Synthetic makeup?
No, they actually do have
makeup.
Well,
when I say synthetic, I mean like...
She's talking about prosthetics.
Yeah.
Prosthetics. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry to be so literal.
Latex. yeah, that stuff.
Well, there is some makeup that is natural.
Yes, but putting it on your face is creating something synthetic.
No, he calls it beard conditioner.
Or
we'll
enhancing.
It
depends on who you are.
It's still synthetic.
That mineral stuff is really natural.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up on that note.
Well, we got 5 minutes.
I would say check out, if y'all haven't seen it, there's a magazine called About.
And you can see my bald head.
Yeah, and if you go to the back, you see a picture of us.
Not that one, you guys.
There's a picture of us from Leather Ties and After Hours in the back of the magazine and the little seen or not be seen thing. And I'm sitting there. We have Elizabeth and Eva from Whip Society, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's me with, like, my headphones on, and then you can see Baby Bear's bald head right behind me. So check out About Magazine. It's actually a pretty cool little magazine. So
I managed
check
to
out
escape
about.
Getting my picture
Robert,
taken that yes. night. Yay!
Just to confirm, Wendy O. Williams is dead.
Oh, she is dead?
She is dead.
So
she
died is doing Christian rock. I told you.
In hell, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's her punishment. She has to sing Christian hymns in hell.
No, she's singing "Nearer My God to Thee" to Satan.
No, she's singing "Karen, Eat a Sandwich."
No.
Oh.
Oh,
that's evil.
So, anybody else have anything to add before we close?
My bald head.
Although I would say
Wes is holding four fingers up.
That means we have 4 minutes.
Although I would say that...
Or that means he's getting ready to fist somebody and can't find the Crisco.
that does... The whole thing about Mae West
fingers
being
together,
a man...
Dear.
Wait, listen.
This whole thing about Mae West being a
That's
man...
That's the way you do it.
...does give a whole new meaning to that line from the movie where they're talking about the jewels, and she's like... where he goes, "Goodness, dear, what jewels?" And she goes, "Goodness had nothing to do with it." What jewels was she talking about exactly?
Okay. And speaking of Mae West, Tom Selleck, his first film appearance was a gigolo, a little gigolo for Mae West in Myra Breckinridge. So if you wanted to see Tom Selleck sans mustache when it's really young, rent the movie Myra Breckinridge and just wait for the scene with Mae West, and the little hustler that comes in to service her is Tom Selleck. It's funny as hell.
Wow.
Didn't he play Magnum P.I.?
Yeah.
Oh my God, like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Where have you been?
Oh my God.
Wow.
He's like,
wow.
He's like, oh
somebody's
God,
showing their age.
Like, he's too young to even know that.
He's probably, you know, he sees Nick at Night. Don't they have, like, Magnum P.I.
reruns
on Nick at Night?
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't
tell you because I don't watch
Do you
Nick
know
at
what
Night.
The monsters
like
are?
Jack Lord in Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, really. Does anybody remember Hawaii 5-0?
How about I Dream of Jeannie?
Yeah,
I
remember that one.
No, I'm asking Virgin because it's amazing that there are things that are just oblivious to him.
It's not amazing. It's not amazing at all.
Does it go back to that legalizing marijuana issue?
Why? You really need a little taste after dealing with him all night.
Nothing I think wrong that's with my memory. Valium after dealing with him.
And Jimmy, I am going to be bringing you that BJ Services cap because you are now the new pin master.
Bringing me what?
I have a construction hat. that it was the former pin master, Mr. Chris Brooks. It was his hat, and it was his construction hat, and it's BJ Services, because it's
I know where that building hat. Is.
And he gave it to me. He said, I'm retiring. He said, I said, it's a funny hat. And he said, well, somebody gave it to me as a joke because I'm the pin master. And I said, he said, but I'm going to throw it away. And I said, no, I'll take it. I'll say, when we find the new pin master, I will give it to him. You are the new pin master.
Thank you very much.
I am bringing back. I'm bringing that construction cap for you.
I guess that's the one thing that I would like to say is that Whips did come up with a way to pin at Louis this year.
Love it.
It was wonderful.
What we did is we took two boys, unsuspecting gentlemen, and had them, you know, do the do on each other, and then we pinned them both.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet. Buzz, you had something to say before we close?
Nope.
Okay. Well, then we're winding it up. Thank you
good
for listening
night,
to After Hours. Yeah. And
everybody say goodnight.
Everybody say night-night.
Love you all. Good night.
Good night, Gracie.
You've been up long enough. Go to bed.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston 90.1. 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, kpft.org on the World Wide Web. We're going to take you out of here with a little Pansy Division, then your PSA.
Is this some new Pansy Division?
Yes, it is. It's going to be your favorite
okay.
one.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. Well, I'm getting older.
Is now accepting nominations for listener members to its program council. The KPFT Program Council is an advisory body founded to give broader community input in programming. The PC works with KPFT's management around a myriad of programming matters. KPFT is seeking 6 listener members to participate in the program council. Visit kpft.org to apply now and make plans to attend the Wednesday, March 18th local station board meeting to be held at the Haven Center, 1827 West Alabama, between Woodhead and South Shepherd in Houston. At kpft.org, you can find full information about the program council, what it does, and how it works. You can also submit your own nomination to the program council. And don't forget to attend the March 18th local station board meeting to be held at the Haven Center, 1827 West Alabama, and speak to the board, which votes on your nomination. KPFT encourages members of our diverse listening audience to get involved in this radio station. Visit kpft.org for information about the program council. This is KPFT Houston.
Help KPFT celebrate our 39th birthday. Some of your favorite musicians are coming out on Sunday, March 15th, starting at noon over at the Mucky Duck, 2425 Norfolk. That includes Randy Weeks, Patrice Pike, Jesse Dayton and Mike Stinson, Shake Russell, John Evans, Hamilton Loomis, Johnny Boy and Milt Hopkins, Sugar Bayou, Poe Girl from Canada, Baskery from Sweden, special guests, Joe Ely coming in from Austin. We've got Gary P. Nunn and some other folks. Your $20 admission ticket ticket gets you into the big top tent for all the celebratory festivities at the Mucky Duck, 2425 Norfolk off Kirby between 59 and Richmond. Please join us starting at noon this Sunday, March 15th, KPFT's 39th birthday. Don't miss it. See you there. This is KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace.
Program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.